ജയം വിഷുപാദപരവും സപരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര സദസ്സരി ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയശരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദ ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷുപാദപരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര സദസ്സരി ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദ അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദക്ക് നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ടാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാ കൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ഡ രാധാകുണ്ഡ ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാം കി മായപ്പൂർ ധാം കി മധുരപുരി ധാം കി ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാം കി ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാം കി ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗോർ പ്രേമനന്ദേ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ഗുരു ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമാംശുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശതാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതീ അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അംബത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീ നമോസ്തു വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകപാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹ വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാജയദ്രതജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണ ഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനീ സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേബീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർ വേദൈ സാംഗപദൈ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിതതദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So this 15th chapter, Krishna begins with this Ashwatha tree, Urdhamulam Athashaka. The description is there. Why is this presented in this particular way? There is a reason behind that. Actually, first idea is that to create vairagyam in our mind. Vairagyam is always that people don't understand actually what vairagyam means. People think different ways. For example, forcefully, if you give up things in this world, that's not considered vairagyam. Forcefully, if you do it. Sometimes people disgusted with things and give up. That is also not vairagyam. Vairagyam, in the shastram, when they say vairagyam means, after understanding the nature of the object, that it will give me distress in future, and able to stay away from that, that's vairagyam. It's all different, isn't it? Suppose I had some bad experience in my life, and somebody, I have got a lot of bad experience from people, with bad experience from others, and then I got disgusted and I left them. That's not vairagyam. Vairagyam means seeing the things in its real nature, what its original nature is, the nature of the object. For example, this world, we perceive it through in a colored way. We are seeing the world in a colored vision. Our vision is very colored. Why? Because of three modes of nature. Our vision is very colored. What Krishna is trying to tell us here in this chapter is what is actual this world is. Not the way we perceive it, but what is its true nature. And that is why he begins with this description of the world, samsara, material world, samsara vriksham, we call it, right? So samsara vriksham is presented for the purpose so that we understand this world properly, not the way we see it. We see the world according to how much sense gratification we can get from the world. If I get a lot of sense gratification, the world is very nice. If the world is giving me a lot of problems, the world is no good. That's not how it should be seen. That won't create vairagyam. Because again, when you get some sense gratification, you will get attracted to the world again. But what is the true color of this world to make us understand that? Krishna is saying to us that this samsara vriksham, this tree itself is spoken to create vairagyam in our mind. So that is what it's saying here. Tatra tavat vriksharupa kalpanaya vairagya hetoho samsara swarupam varnayati. So samsaram's nature is spoken properly the way Krishna talks about it, what this material world means in Krishna's eyes, what this actually means. Not touched by the modes of nature, like the way we look at it. You can see within ourselves, people who mode of goodness will see the world in one way. The people in the mode of passion will see the world in a different way. And the people in the mode of ignorance, they will see the world in another way. So, what is the real nature of this world? That's what Krishna is saying us in this chapter to begin with. Yeah? Vairagya hetoho samsara swarupam varnayati viraktasahi samsarad, so that vairagyam comes to us after hearing Krishna's description of the world, so that you develop vairagyam within. And Bhagavat Tattvajnani adhigaro na anyasya iti. And that due to that, you become qualified for Tattvajnanam. So that is how Krishna begins with this chapter. And as we saw on Sunday, last Monday, Nishrayasakaram Parama Prayojanam. Nishra means what? Nishrayasakaram Parama Prayojanam means when you get to know who you are, what your real spiritual identity is, right? And with all the imperfections in the world, you recognize your perfect place, the center, perfection in the center. Because nothing is perfect here, right? Imperfections you cannot change. This chapter, Purushottama Yogam, that is how Krishna begins like this, that like a tree upside down, like if you want, you can observe anywhere, if you go near a tank or a lake, there is a tree standing, and the tree, if you look into the water, it's upside down. The tree is upside down, isn't it? And its branches, fruits, flowers, everything. And its seed is inside, right? That is the samsara chakram. So the imperfections in us will not change. But what Krishna is saying is, if you want perfection, there is only one center inside us where there is perfection. Yeah. And so, inquiring about that center where there is perfection, and that science is called Brahma Vidya. That science is called Brahma Vidya. So, all this Vidya, വേദാന്ത പരമ്പര, ആർഷ പരമ്പര, വിച്ച് ആർ വി കോൾ കൃഷി പരമ്പര, ഇൻ ദിസ് വേ കർമാനുഷ്ഠാനം, ഉപാസന ആൻഡ് ഓൾ അതർ കൈൻഡ് ഓഫ് യോഗ പ്രോസസ്സസ്, ദിസ് ബ്രഹ്മവിദ്യ സമ്പ്രദായം ഹാസ് ഓൾ ദി പ്രോസസ് ഹാവ് സർവൈവ്ഡ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് ആസ് എ as representing the Sanatana Dharma. Arsha Parambara, you can call it different names. Arsha Parambara, Vedanta Parambara, Rishi Parambara, whichever way you call that, that Sampradayam, through Karmanushtanam and Upasana and Rahasya, all other yoga processes, right? So, those who have come in the Sampradayam like that, they can get to that goal, what Krishna is saying here, that perfection is possible. And otherwise, if you hear that, without that parambara, change in the parambara in a different way, then it will not bring any perfection. That is why, if you look at the first verse itself, he's saying, Urdhvamoolam adhashaha ashwatham prahuravyayam ഛന്ദാംസി യസ്യ പർണാനി യസ്വം വേദസ വേദവിത്. ഊർധ്വമൂലം ദൻ കാലത സൂക്ഷ്മത്വാൽ കാരണത്വാൽ നിത്യത്വാൽ മഹത്വാൽ ച ഊർധ്വം ഉച്യതേ. മീൻസ് ദാറ്റ് ബ്രഹ്മം ഈസ് സപ്പോസ് ടു ബി ഊർധ്വം അപ്വേർഡ്സ്. വൈ സെയിങ് ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ് ഇറ്റ് വട്ട് ഇറ്റ് മീൻസ് ഈസ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് മോർ സട്ടിൽ ദൻ ടൈം. ഈവൺ time itself is a subtle thing. Brahman is more subtle than time. Everything is very subtle. Time itself is a subtle thing. We don't understand what time. We made all these clocks and watches and all that. That's the only time we know. Where did this time begin? What is time's actual form? And more subtle than that is Brahman. And Sushmatwal, and because it is the cause of everything, Brahman is the cause of everything, and it is eternal, and it is Mahatta. So, because this Maya comes in between, and Maya's another name is Avyaktam. Krishna uses that word, isn't it, in Bhagavad Gita? Avyaktam Vyaktimavannam Manyadeyamam Abhudhaya. In the earlier chapters, you will see Krishna uses the word from avyaktam. Avyaktam means unmanifested. From unmanifested things comes everything. It is avyaktam, right? So, Maya is avyaktam. Maya is avyaktam. And therefore, this material existence itself, its root is in Maya. The root is in Maya, samsara vriksham. The tree called material existence, its root is in Maya, right? And unlike the ordinary trees, the root of this tree is going upwards to show to us the power of Maya. And the root is upwards and the branches and the tree stems everything downwards. And therefore, that is how it is. This tree of samsaram. And Kathopanishad also says the same thing. So that word, verse Krishna has taken from the Kathopanishad. We'll come to that later. So, Krishna is saying, who has understood this properly? That means the root upwards and the tree downwards. And because it is coming from Maya, the tree itself is coming from Maya. Maya is the source. From there all this is coming. Three modes of nature. Right. So, as I mentioned before, that the rishis have a way of, different way of thinking than what we do. Because of the influence of karma on us. Karma is a disease. Karma is called a rogam. It's a disease in the body. Right? So, how to take us out of this karma, from karma gandam to the platform of the mind. Platform of the mind. Right? In other words, our upasana or our sadhana or upasana, it all happens in the manomandalam, isn't it? It's a mind's absorption. Otherwise, it's not of much help. Suppose you only work with the body all the time and body is doing a lot of service. That is not good enough because that's on a physical plane because body needs karma. It has to do karma because the vasana is inside. So therefore, you are engaging the body. But actually, upasana, where does it happen? In the mind. Upasana mandalam, it's called. Bhavana mandalam. Upasana mandalam, it is called. Right? So, it is important to bring the mind into this bhavana mandalam or upasana mandalam. And if you can bring it to the upasana mandalam or bhavana mandalam, even it is not direct spirituality. Still you are not in the spiritual platform. But it is the next step towards the spiritual life. If you come to the Bhavana Mandalam or Mano Mandalam, Upasana Mandalam, whichever we call that, first level is the body. Body wants karmam, so you have to give karmam for the body. That is the lowest level. You have to come from there towards the mind, Manomandalam, Bhavana Mandalam. And even Bhavana Mandalam is not perfect. It is not on the spiritual platform. It is one step below the spiritual platform. So, that means spiritual life, which is Adhyatmam, the next step towards Adhyatmam, the one step below that is the Manomandalam, right? And this Bhavana Mandalam or Mano Mandalam, its effect is what Krishna is talking about first, right? its effect will be there in the society, in the family, everywhere, right? That is why we were saying that you bring up children, telling them Ramayanam, Mahabharatam, things like that, all Bhagavatam, everything, and imbibe in them, in their Bhavana Mandalam, a world of spirituality. Creating a world of spirituality, right? So, that happens in various ways. That the hearing the epics like Mahabharatam, Ramayanam, and similarly Bhagavatam, Puranams, everything, for that purpose they have created. Also, the history of great personalities, spiritual personalities, right? If you bring the children up in a world like that, they get a purification inside and naturally they will have that, they are purified for hearing the Adhyatma Vidya, Brahma Vidya, right? Tyagam, sacrificing nature, Vairagyam, Shanti, Samadhanam, Dhyanam, Tapas, all these things have to build up in their heart in the early days in life. If those things are not there in the early days, it's very difficult later on to push it inside. If they have not cultivated that in the early days in life, these spiritual qualities like the renunciation, detachment, tyagam, sacrificing nature, shanti, samadhanam, dhyanam, tapas, all these things, right? So, what we were talking about, you remember I mentioned last Monday that Vivekananda realized this. When he studied the Western philosophers and philosophies, he realized the problem that it is all on an intellectual platform, completely, talking about intellectually. It's not getting anywhere. So he had to throw it away everything and finally come back to the Arshavidya Parambara, Rishi's Parambara again. And he mentions that in his own writings, right? So, as long as you are thinking, I'm thinking I am this body, that in the bodily level, all these things look differently, totally different, right? So, we were saying that, and how to elevate oneself from the bodily platform to the mental platform, to bring him from bodily level to the mental state, right? So, it is for that purpose regularly reading Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, it is for that, Parayanam they call it, regularly reading it. And it has its effect on regular reading it, right? And if there is sincerity inside, or what means if there is bhakti, then the experience will come from reading Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Experience will come, right? Because experience don't come by our intelligence. It is given by the Antaryami inside. So Antaryami as the guru, he will dictate to us from inside the meaning of all shastram is, right? Even though you require an acharya externally, right? But actually Antaryami is the root. He is the one for everybody. He is the guide in spiritual life. Antaryami is the guide in spiritual life, right? So he will show the root. He will show the root, right? So that is why you will see people historically, not now anymore, traditionally, older people, they will keep a copy of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Ramayanam, Mahabharatam at home. And they will read it. And you may be thinking that what are they reading? Every day the same thing they keep on reading. People think like that. This is why Sanatana Dharma came through family life, not through institutions. This is a modern thing, this institutional way of spirituality. Traditionally, Sanatana Dharma stayed in this world, as I mentioned, from father to son it went, from Narayanam, Padmabhuvam, Vasishtam, that is from up to Shuka Brahmarshi. They have all taken the butter out of it. When what they have given to the grandparents and great-grandparents and like that, through them, by the time it came through, it became buttermilk. But still, it had some potency in that. And that is how it spreads through the families, different families, and it stayed in the families. And family was the backbone behind everything, which has supported spirituality, like grandparents. Their lifestyle, children will observe that, and they will see that how the grandparents are conducting their life. By just seeing that, they get an understanding from that. The impressions are formed inside, without their knowledge. They will observe the life of the grandparents and the effect of the grandparents on the children, waking up early in the morning and hours together engaging in spiritual activities, because that's what grandparents did at one time. But last 2-3 generations, that's gone. Everybody broke up from home and lived separately, independently, independence, and therefore they lost all that. And this is how Sanatana Dharma survived in this world, not through institution. Institution is a very modern thing. Last 40-50 years it has started, institutional way of spirituality. But prior to that, it was always through families that it survived, the families and supported by the temples. That is how it was, yeah. So the concept is this, that Bhagavad Gita is a very important book for daily sadhana, daily upasana, daily reading Bhagavad Gita, right? And this chapter is a very subtle chapter, more subtle than the last one. Last one itself is subtle, which are three modes of nature. This is more subtle than that. And idea behind this chapter is to present to us what this world is. Samsara, this vriksha, this tree, right? If you look into the world outside, it is utter confusion it is. If you look into the world outside, it is utter confusion, right? And first thing you can see, it has no direction in the way it is going. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, sometimes so many things are happening in this world. Sometimes people are fighting. And sometimes they are celebrating. On one side marriage is going on the other side killing is going on. And this doesn't have a proper permanent existence, continuously changing all the time. And Krishna is saying, you won't get any steadiness or stability in this world. That's the first thing he's saying. This world will be like this, up and down, all the time. Changing, changing, changing. Sometimes fighting, sometimes everybody is happy. Sometimes everyone is fighting each other. In this way, it doesn't have any existence, in other words. That changing nature, it doesn't have an existence, right? And so we also, if you get absorbed in this world, because it doesn't have a stability, the external world has no stability, you will not be stable either. If you look for stability in the world, you won't be stable, because the world is not stable. The very nature of the world is unstable, right? Because the world is unstable, and if all your attention is in the world, Krishna is saying, you will also be unstable. You will not be stable at all, right? Because it will keep on going like this. A few years, everything thinks everything is fantastic. And then a COVID comes and upsets the whole thing. And then a war comes and it goes worse. Then, so how long this will go, you don't know. In your lifetime, you yourself notice that so many wars have come and gone. So much fighting has come. People have got displaced everywhere. They've all had to go, leave their places of birth or villages and come away from there, right? So to find some stability in that, Krishna says, it's not possible. That means if your vision, if your attention is always in the world, you will never be stable. That's the first thing, right? So, because we have nothing to do with this world outside, it is not our swarupam. Our swarupam is inside, right? So, therefore, and our body, mind, and this world, all these three things is similar in that aspect, in the sense that if you are dependent on any of these three things, your body, your mind, or the world, you will not get shanti from that, from either of these three. Neither from your body, nor from your mind, nor from the world. So, suppose you are dependent on the science of this body, physical body, its science centered around that, you won't get any peace from that. Or if you are dependent on the material science, you won't get any peace from that. That is the science related to the world outside. Similarly, if you are dependent on the science of the mind, which is the psychiatry or psychology, whatever that is, you won't get any peace from that, because they all have the changing nature. And similarly, they say, even in the cerebral matter, for example, like sleep, or when your mind dissolves, or if you fall into unconscious state, even all of them cannot give you any stability. None of them. So these are all different states of existence, isn't it? Mind gets dissolved, for example, or the sleep or layam dissolving in this way, right? So, because at some time, when you wake up from the sleep, again you are falling back into the same world again, right? So therefore, avaranam, or the covering, or buddhi, or mind, or the body, or this world, none of them have any stability, Krishna says. You see, Krishna is saying that to us, that you put all your investment, all your investment is what? Shraddha. Shraddha is the only thing what we have got. If you put all your Shraddha in these things, like the mind, the body, similarly intelligence, or this world outside, none of them have any stable situation. They are all very unstable. Therefore, even if you depend on sleep, there is this avaranam there, covering there. So, from that, which is the most subtle existence of us, in the sleep, when everything we have left, and we are completely dependent on the sleep state. From there, right up to the most gross form of the world outside, sthula prapancha, gross, up to that, have no existence, Krishna is saying. That means, vacant state, dream state, and the deep sleep, which are the effects of satugunam, rajagunam, tamogunam. Because they are under the influence of three gunams, the body, mind, and the senses, and the world outside, and all the three states, they are all subjected to change. Because they are all subjected to change, if you are looking for shanti, you won't find it in any of these things. That's the first statement Krishna is making here in this verse. Yeah. That means, unless you move away from all these things, go inwards towards the Antaryami inside, which is our Swarupam, and which is defined as Nityam, Shuddham, Buddham, Mukta, Subhavam. Eternal, pure, fully conscious, and always liberated, and that is our pure state, which is the most subtle existence. Nitya, Shuddha, Buddha, Mukta, Subhavam. Right? So, unless we get there and stay in that state, this shanti, permanent shanti, won't come. Will not be possible. If you ask a question, is this all possible? That will be the next question, isn't it? When you hear this, is this all possible? Right? And what you have to remember is that able to hear about itself is good fortune. That there is a, this is the reality, what Krishna has presented, right? To some extent, when you hear these things, you will get some thoughts inside that it's making more sense, what Krishna is saying. Some of you may think like that. It is more sensible, what Krishna is saying, right? So, because you have some understanding, that is why you are able to listen to it. Suppose you could not accept it, then you won't be able to listen to this, what Krishna is saying here, right? So, little by little it is there inside, you are able to accept what Krishna is saying, right? And gradually practicing it, you will find some taste for it over a period of time, right? And you will become more conscious of that Antaryami alone is the reality. We are busy with the temporary things in this world, and therefore we will never be stable. We will always be wobbly like this. Sometimes happy, sometimes suffering. And when suffering comes, you get completely disturbed. When happiness comes, you become very joyful. This is not a proper existence. That is why Krishna talks about shanti always. Shanti state means when you have touched the Antaryami inside, right? So, it is like a mountain inside. That Antaryami is so stable. So stable, right? And so all the great personalities, realized souls, their shelter was Antaryami, not the body, not the mind, not the world outside. They didn't take shelter of that, right? So that is the, and the nature of Antaryami is like this, that he is beautiful like a person, and or like a mountain, and it's free. And it is free from all other imperfections, what you find in the body, in the world, in the mind, everything. There is no imperfection there in the Antaryami, right? So, once you have that connection with the Antaryami, you don't feel anymore that you want something else. There is a difference there. That the just like if you watch a serial or a movie for a few times, then you get bored with it, the same thing. But Antaryami is different. That boredom never comes from Antaryami, right? So, that's what he is saying here. Tam urdhamulam samsaram mayamayam Vriksham, Ahu, Mahad Ahankara Tanmatradeha, Shaka, Iva Asya Atho Bhavandi, Itisa Ayam Atha Shakaha, Tam Atha Shakam, Na Shuha, Abhistada Idi Ashwataha, Tam Kshana Pradhumsenam Ashwatham Prahu, Kathayandi Avyayam. So, this tree we are talking about, called Samsaram, is the tree. The tree is called Samsaram. And what kind of tree it is compared to Ashwatham. And this tree has got branches. What are the branches? Buddhi is a branch of that. Ahankaram is a branch of that. Yeah. And all our subtle body, tanmatras, they are also branch of that. Tanmatra, Buddhi, Ahankaram. They are all branches of this tree, which is standing upside down. its branches they are, right? And because it doesn't exist like this another day, it will because it's going to change. That is why it is called shwaha, ashwatham, the word, shwaha. Ashwatham, it comes from that letter shwa, shwaha, right? And because it does not exist in the same way tomorrow, it is called ashwatham. Ashwatham is the banyan tree we are referring to, right? And ashwatham, this banyan tree has a nature. There are two types of banyan trees. If you are familiar with the banyan trees, right? There are two types of them. I don't know the English word for both. We call it banyan tree. English, that's the only word I know. I don't know that. But in Sanskrit, they have different words for that. So this banyan, only one particular banyan tree, you will observe that, it has a nature. What is that? If it is tree is 100 meters away, its root will come up here. In villages, you know, the wells are there. Where you take the water from. We have to say everything now, where the water comes from, the well. We are not used to, isn't it? For us, affinity water or Thames water supplies us the water. But traditionally, people who lived in the villages know water is always collected from the well. So there may be a tree far away, ashwatham, but its roots will come in the well. If you cut it off, again it will come back. It will come back. And that is the nature of that tree, right? So that's what he's saying here, that shwa means it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. It keeps changing. And this tree is ashwatha tree. It is cannot be destroyed. That's the problem with that tree. Even if you cut the whole tree, again it will sprout. You can see hundreds of them in all the villages, you will find them. You won't see them in the cities. In London you won't find ashwatham. You have to go to the villages. You will see loads of these temples, particularly around temples you will find this ashwatham tree. And sometimes they have problems with that. The branches comes out inside the temple. Tree is standing far away from the temple, but the roots will come up in the and it will sprout inside. And even if you destroy the tree, cut the tree, still it will sprout again and it will come out. So that is its nature, right? So, samsara mayayaha anadikala pravartatval sa ayam samsara vrikshaha avyayaha anadyanda dehadi sandhanashrayohi suprasiddhaha tam avyayam. He is saying, because it is this tree of samsaram has been existing for so long, it's been existing like this, right? People say that it cannot be, it doesn't get destroyed. It will stay like this, right? Why? Because parambara of one body coming from another body, generation after generation after generation, it keeps coming, right? And it is dependent on this, how do we call it, different generations, it is coming. And therefore, like for example, we had our parents, they have gone. They had their parents, they have gone. They had their parents, they have gone. We will also go, and another generation will come. And they will also go, and another generation will come. So generation after generation after generation, this will keep on going on like this, right? So, just like bubbles come in the water, in the river, in the same way, it is spoken here, right? Every moment the bubbles are coming and disappearing. And in place of that, new bubbles are coming up, right? But we are not able to give attention to that. Similarly, every moment, in this samsara, material existence, living entities come and living entities disappear. Lords, so many living entities come here. Like our generation, we will all be gone. And there will be a new generations tomorrow. They will be talking the same thing, probably, right? So therefore, this river, which is flowing like this, generation after generation after generation, this will continue like this. Yeah? Tasya eva samsara vrikshasya idam anyad varnanam. Krishna is going to talk about it in another way. What is that? Chandamsi chadana hrig yaju samalakshanani yasya samsara vrikshasya parnani yatha vrikshasya parirakshanarthani parnani tatha vedaha samsara vriksha parirakshanarthaha dharmam adharma tadhedu phala prakashana arthatval. Then ധർമ്മം അധർമ്മം, ധർമ്മം അധർമ്മം. Right? After explaining what that is, the result of Vaidika karmam, karmam that has been followed by the Vedam, and they are the results of, that means karma khandam, basically referring to, that karma khandam keeps this samsaram in a nourished state. It gets its nourishment from the karmakandam. How is that? Right? Karmakandam tells you how to conduct your life in this world with the different sacrifices, how to perform sacrifices and becoming happy with that. You can see all the kings performed sacrifices, is it not? Ambarish did, Yudhishthira did, Parikshit did, and similarly Mahabali did. So, historically those who were followers of Vedam, they followed Karmakandam. Karmakandam was in their main, Prithu Maharaj did. They, all of them, strictly followed Vedam. They did not deviate from the Vedam. So, yada akhyadam, samsara vriksham samulam yatam vedasa vedavit, vedarthavit ityatha. One who understands this tree of samsaram, material existence, which is compared to a tree, one who has understood it properly, he has understood Vedam, Krishna saying that. Yastvam Vedasa Vedavit. You see that statement? Chandamsi Yasya Parnani Yastvam Vedasa Vedavit. Krishna saying that if you understand this samsaram properly, samsara vriksham it's called, the tree of samsaram. Yeah? If you understand this tree of samsaram completely, there is nothing else to be known. Why? Moment you understand this samsaram properly, if you understand, you will withdraw from this world. That is the vairagyam will come. And if vairagyam comes in a person properly, then knowledge will immediately start working for him. Why we don't get that? Because we have still not understood this world properly. We still have our strong attachment here to the world, or worldly existence in other words, which is spread through the body, mind, senses, everything. Yeah? Krishna's point is, one who understands this world, understands means that he would not want to know anything anymore about it. That is why that creates vairagyam, and therefore tasya eva samsara vrikshasya abhara avayava kalpana uchyate. So therefore he begins with the tree of samsaram, which is compared to a banyan tree standing upside down, its root upwards, and all other things. Why is it upside down? Because the root is in Maya. Rest everything of the tree is coming from Maya. Buddhi, ahankaram, senses, and all our subtle elements, made of gross elements, made our body. It's all a product of the tree, but the tree's root is upwards, means the root is in Maya, Prakriti, and the rest of it is what we are relishing now in our present state, right? So, after saying that, he's saying that, so, and in nature of Prakriti is such that in Prakriti you observe, for example, you observe the sunrise. Sunrise and sunset goes on complete every day without any change, right? And every day when you see the sunrise and the sunset, then it gives you an understanding that the nature of Prakriti is such that changes are even not even noticeable for us easily. The sun, the moon, the stars, their presence in this world. And Krishna is saying this, that if you observe the nature properly, you will understand the very changing nature of this Prakriti, changing nature of the Prakriti. Right? So, therefore, rishis approach was that they observed that among all the things in this world, the sun is more stable than anybody else. Sun is more stable, is it not? There's no time anybody could complain that sun didn't rise. Sun is always there. He comes, he goes, right? And therefore, they focus their attention on the sun. Focus their attention on the sun. They are saying, if you observe the sun, you will feel more shanti inside. Particularly, they recommend to observe the sunrise and sunset, right? And even that is why they brought this Sandhyavandanam based on the sun. And that kind of relationship with the permanent thing in this creation, like the sun, like the moon, they, if you have a relationship with the sun and the moon, for which purpose Sandhyavandanam was instituted, if you do like that, naturally the mind will become more conducive for meditation. Dhyana yoga, for dhyanam. Mind will become more inward looking and more of a, it will touch the core of the, or the depth of the creation. And same thing, that that's what idea behind it, say, explaining these things, that the, if we develop a connection with the nature through the sun and the moon, the possibility is that your mind become more meditative. Meditation nature will build up inside. At the moment, we don't have that, isn't it? Our mind is everywhere, in other words, yeah. So, this chapter, we are just getting into the chapter now. This chapter, 14th chapter was Gunatraya Vibhagam, is it not? Three modes of material nature, Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga. And that chapter, how did we finish that? We looked at that chapter. He said, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham Amrtasya Avyayasya Cha Shashvatasya Cha Dharmasya Sukha Segandigasya Cha. That was the last verse in that 14th chapter. Yeah? Brahmanohi Pratishtaham Amrtasya Avyayasya Cha Shashvatasya Cha Dharmasya Sukha Segandigasya Cha. The last verse, right? And in that verse, Krishna said that what is this Shashvata Dharmam, right? Atyantika Sukham. Shashvatasya Cha Dharmasya. Shashvata Dharmam. He has spoken in that verse, yeah? Then he said also, Atyantika Sukham. Sukha Segandigasya Cha. You have to study those verses very carefully, because Krishna mentions it in few words and he goes on. So when you read through, you can see why Krishna said like that, right? So he mentioned there, talks about three things in that verse. One, Brahmam. Brahmanohi Pratishtaham, he said. Brahmam. What Brahmam is, right? Amrtasya Avyayasya Cha. It is Amrtam, it is Avyayam. Then he said, Shashvatasya Dharmasya. Shashvata Dharmam he spoke. Then Sukha Saigandikasya Cha, which means that Atyantika Sukham, what that is. These three things he spoke in that verse, in the last verse, right? So, what is that Brahmam is referring to? Brahmam is referring to unbroken perfection. That is Brahmam. Brahmam means perfect. That is, there are no changes happening anymore. Perfect. As I said before, body, there is no perfection. Mind, there is no perfection. The world, there is no perfection. Then where is perfection? Perfection is only in the Atma, Antaryami. So, he spoke about that, and Krishna is saying, the place where there is perfection, which is Atma, it is Brahman. That's Brahman, right? And beauty of that place is Brahman, is Atma or Antaryami, whichever way you call that, it is akhandam, it is unbroken. Why is akhandam? Because that experience of bodham, awareness, is continuous in us. It doesn't leave us, isn't it? Do you know what I'm saying? Right? All other things comes and goes, but I cannot take out from anybody his awareness, because he That is his existence. My existence is my bodham, isn't it? My awareness that I exist. I cannot get rid of that from me, because that's me. That is my real nature, is that bodham awareness. And that same thing with everybody. Their existence, that is the only thing what you have got. Everything else you don't have it. Body, you don't have it. You are thinking you have got the body, but you don't have the body. Body has come from the nature. Nature will take it back. Prakriti will take it back from you. You don't have it. We are thinking wrongly. We are falsely thinking that it is my body, I keep saying that. But actually body is not mine. Body belongs to Prakriti. Same thing with the mind. Same thing with the intelligence. Everything Prakriti has given, Prakriti will take it back. But this bodham, awareness inside, Prakriti can't take it away from me. Because that's me. It cannot be taken out from me, separated from me, right? So that's what he's saying here. So that perfection is there in that awareness, bodham. And that is what Krishna is talking about. Shashodasya dharmasya. Shashoda dharma. Right? That means hrudam. Hrudam. Truth. So, in order that the life to be fruitful, whatever you require, make your life perfect. Everything is in that place. In that Antaryami. Or Self or Atma, whichever we call it, right? And Ajari Swamiji calls it as Pratyagalma. Pratyagalma, right? So, if you are inquiring about the truth, you have to inquire about Him in that place. Pratyagalma, right? Even when you are thinking about immortality, Amrutatvam, yeah? That's one thing. Brahmanohi Pratishtaham, Amrutasya Avyayasya Cha. Amrutatvam is there. Immortality is there. Similarly, Shashoda Dharmam, if you want to know, that's also there, Pratyagalpa. And if you want Sukham, Sukha Saigandhikasya Cha, and you have to inquire there. All the three things. So that's why that verse is important. So Krishna finishes that chapter with that verse. Brahmanohi Pratishtaham, Amrutasya Avyayasya Cha, Shashodasya Cha Dharmasya, Sukha Saigandhikasya Cha. In three things he mentioned there. Brahmanohi Pratishtaham, Brahmanam, that Brahmam, Andaryami, inside. It is Amrutam, it is Avyayam. Amrutam means it's eternal. It will never change, eternal. And it doesn't have increase or decrease. It's always to the same degree. Similarly, Shashoda Dharmam is that. And similarly, Sukha Saigandhi, Aitindiya Sukham is also there. So, if you make it very simple, that verse, right? Prachidra means that eastern direction, right? Eastern direction. Generally, Vedam and the Shastram also consider all of us looking towards the east, looking towards the east, right? So the guru says to the disciple, you turn your attention from the east exactly opposite, means inwards, inwards. Going outward means to the east, turn inwards means going in to the opposite side. To the opposite side, right? And that is what is called a pratyak. That word used is pratyak. Pratyagalma. That word comes from that. So, if you turn the attention from the world inwards, you are going towards Him. Towards the Antaryami. Which is the root of our existence, right? And you have to inquire happiness there. And that is where you find out the root cause of this world outside. If you want to understand this world, Krishna's point is, turn your attention inwards and find that inside. That's where the science, the secret of the world is. That's the principle, right? So, and if you are inquiring about the truth, everything has to happen inside. So, which means that the research work you have to do, or those who are doing tattva vicharam, tattva jnanam, or tattva jitnyasa, who has got tattva jitnyasa, right? It is their topic. How to direct the attention inwards. How to direct the attention inwards. Yeah? So, it is that subject that is what is being spoken. Yeah. So, where did this world come from? If you ask that question, right? Naturally, these are questions asked by people who are in the spiritual life initially. They will ask, who created this world? So generally people say like this, that the world was, God created the world. And you are satisfied with that answer. God created the world. He is the creator. If you give an answer, then somebody will ask you, who created God then? That's always the question from the atheists. They will ask that question, who created the God? And then you have to say, God always existed. And with that finishes. That's not convincing for them. He says, if you say the world was created by somebody, by God, then who created God? So if you say to them that the God was also, God always existed, then they say, that's not very convincing. How do you know that he always existed? This kind of questions will come from that, right? So Vedam asked the same question and answers differently about it, right? So this creation, what we are perceiving now, where did this come from, right? And before creation, what existed? Before the creation, right? And therefore Krishna divided that into satta and asatta, right? So Krishna is saying here that there existed a darkness. Who knows where this creation came from? That means this world, what we are experiencing now, where did that originate from, right? It is a topic for those who wants to study Shastram seriously. They study that, right? So anyone who observed this world first time, they will ask that question, where did this world come from, right? And they are inquiring, like the scientists, for example, they are inquiring in the world, where did this come from, right? And our modern science is also busy with that question, right? And what they have done is, they have manufactured some machines for that, to split the atom, you know, that Hadron Collider in Switzerland, they have. And they collide the atoms and trying to find out. They keep saying that we have got very close to it. We have not got it yet, but very close to it. And that research has been going on for a long period of time, right? If you ask the people that, can you tell us where it all originated from? Because as far as they are concerned, everything comes from matter. That's why they have taken to matter so seriously. And they are breaking up the atoms and molecules and all that. And they are trying to find out, there must be some particle much more subtle from everything has begun. Again, starting from matter. So, Vedantam, when it talks about that, right? This world, what we are perceiving now, is only dependent on your senses. Your senses. Means that you feel, experience this world in five different ways, five senses: seeing, hearing, sabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. Is it not? Our five senses. It is through these five senses you are perceiving this world, right? And as far as we are concerned now, at the moment, this is our world, isn't it? What we are getting through these five senses, that's our world today. Nothing more than that, right? So, some living entities, they don't have five senses. They have only two or three senses, right? So their world will be different. Now, if you look at the plant and the trees and all that, their world is different than our world. How they are experiencing the world is different than the way we are experiencing the world, right? Similarly, things like amoeba, single cell, with a single cell, living entities with a single cell, they will experience the world in a different way. So what it means is that world is dependent on the senses, completely on the senses. The way I am seeing this world, all my experience of this world is only through the senses, nothing else. What senses give me the experience of the world, that's my experience of the world is. My experience, that is how I will see this world. It is difficult to change that. Think about it. Then whatever connection you have with this world is through the senses only. And senses are giving you some experience of the world, and that's your world. That's your world, right? Now, when the senses changes, the world also changes. As I said, the trees and the plants, they see the world differently. The animals and the birds, they see the world differently. We see the world differently. So the same world is perceived by different living entities differently. Is it not? So therefore, creation is dependent on the senses. They are in the senses only. That is, your connection with the world is through senses, is it not? So senses have projecting the world to you, and that's what you are accepting as the world. If you think about it, you will understand what I'm saying, right? Now imagine, you have no senses when you are in sleep. All senses are shut down, right? And you will see a world, another world, in the dream state. Another world comes to you. This world goes away, another world manifests in the dream state, right? And in Sushupti, deep sleep state, when the mind has gone, there is no world also. You have to think the way Vedam is saying about it. You can't do it in the way like, because we got so affected by the world, we are always thinking that my experience. And everybody is affected by this problem, that the senses control our vision of the world. Our vision of the world, right? So, first thing Krishna is saying is that what you perceive through senses is your world. Birds have their world, animals have their world, and similarly the trees and the plants, they all have different world they are perceiving. You think about it in a very subtle level, because we got so used to this. You see, the problem is that this world is a strong grip on us, and it is difficult to get out of it, because we have got used to that last 60, 70 years, and it's become very difficult to come out of this world, to think differently, right? In Sushupti, you don't see anything about the world. Connection is completely broken with the world outside, right? So, therefore, in Viveka Chudamani, Ajari Swami is saying this, that prapancham yadi vartyeda, he's saying this, prapancham yadi vartyeda, if this world is real, why is it not there in the Sushupti? In the deep sleep, world is not there. Where is the world gone then? That is how real it is, to that extent, right? So, if something, Krishna has said this in the Bhagavatam, right? If something is a truth, it should exist in all the three states. If something is a truth. From Vedantam point of view, it is different. It's not, I don't know whether you are getting the point what I'm saying, that the science, modern science, have accepted this world as real. And they begin from there. Is it not? Whereas Vedam doesn't. Vedantam doesn't. Vedantam doesn't accept the world as real. Science accept the world as real and start from there. And then they are trying to find out where it is coming from. Vedantam is saying, is the world real first of all? Do you understand the difference? Then they are asking the question, is this world real? First question, right? If something is real, Krishna is saying, it has to be present in all the three states, Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti. Obviously it doesn't exist in Sushupti. But in the world you are perceiving is different in the waking state and in the dream state. So is it real then? Think it that way. Think of the way the rishis are talking about it. See, the problem is, science is thinking that only waking state is real. They are completely ignore the deep sleep and the dream state. They are saying only waking state is real, and they are thinking that this world, what we are seeing here, is real. And with that basis, they are starting their research. Vedantam does not start like that. Vedantam is asking the first question, is this world real, first of all? If it is real, it should be existing in all the three states, but it is not. And the world, what we experience in the waking state and the dream state are also different. So you are saying that the world is real. World is only real in your waking state, not in the dream state, and it's not there in the deep sleep. So that much reality only world has. World is not real. That's the first thing. Yeah. So, Viveka Chudamani, you will see this verse. The question asking, Prapancham yadi vartyeda, if this Prapancham, creation, is real, Sushuptam upalabhyadam, it should be there in the Sushupti. It's not there though. It's not there. So, if the world is there in the Sushupti, then Ajaya Swami says, I can accept that this is real. But it's not there in the Sushupti. Added to that, the world is different in the waking state and the world is different in the dream state. So, which one is real? Which one is real? How would you call that only the waking state is real? You can't say that, because in Sushupti, in the dream state, when you are in the Swapnam stage, you are experiencing a world, that is your reality at that time. Is it not? So what is real then? When you keep saying real, 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 what is real then? See, rishis go much deeper. Modern science is no good that way. Modern science is accepted this world is real, first of all. They begin from there. And then they are doing all this research work. Chaitanyam is not like that. Yeah. So, so basic definition Krishna mentions earlier in the Bhagavatam also, that absolute truth is that is present in all the three states. Therefore, Antaryami is present in the Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti, though that is the only reality there, right? And, for example, if your mind gone into layam mood, it dissolved itself, right? Gone to sleep. Or suppose you have lost interest in what you are listening now. Sometimes you get bored and your mind has lost its, is not able to give attention to anything, right? Then the world, it has gone. The world what you are in now has gone, right? So, just like if you sit down here and you slept, for example. What happened? You've gone to another world. You're physically here, but you are in another world. Physically you are here, but you suppose you have gone to sleep, then you are in another world, even though your body is here. So which one is real now? This world or the world where you are now? So that means the moment you sleep, fall into sleep, the body has gone. The body has gone, right? And even your personality has gone in the Sushupti, isn't it? Ahangaram is not there. That's also. So so that is why in the... these are things to be thought through. Otherwise these verses will be very difficult to understand the way Krishna has presented this chapter. Yeah. So he's saying this, that... there are certain words in Sanskrit for difficult to find a English word for that, because it's a spiritual language itself, right? In this verse, here also is saying here that the nahyasavidya manasotiriktam manohyavidya bhavabandha hetu tasmin vinashte sagalam vinashtam vijrumbanam vijrumbidesmin sagalam vijrumbade vijrumbanam, that word. Vijrumbanam means that when the mind pops up, what will you say for that in English? You see, from deep sleep, you come to awakened state, right? And then the mind comes, isn't it? So where was the mind then? And this mind coming out like this, from nowhere, we didn't know where it was, it just came out. That's called vijrumbanam. The word is used is vijrumbanam, right? Vijrumbade smin sagalam vijrumbade. You can say manifestation, it manifests like that, right? So, what he's saying is, only when your mind pops up, the world is there. When the mind goes away, the world goes away. Is it not? That's our daily experience. When the mind disappears, put it like this. You're conscious of your bank balance in the vacant state very much, how much money is in the bank. And you may have some plans how to spend the money and all that. Once you go to deep sleep, you're not even conscious of your bank balance. Is it not? This is how real it is. How much money in your account, you may be conscious of that only in the vacant state. The moment you have gone to dream state or deep sleep, you are not even conscious. You are not even conscious of your home, which you own, probably on the paper. But once you go to deep sleep, you don't possess that anymore. So that means this whole thing depends on the mind, is it not? Mind is the one that is causing this. And similarly, Krishna is saying here that this world also is there only when your mind has popped up from inside. And when the mind is there, you experience this world. And when you go to deep sleep, when the mind disappears, the world is also gone. World is also gone, right? So it is a pratibhasam. Pratibhasam it is. It is not paramartham, paramarthikam, right? So, then the question comes, if it is like that, this creation only comes when my mind comes and it disappears when the mind disappears. Not like that. In fact, along with the mind, you, the person, also comes only when the mind pops up. Manasa ahangaram. From deep sleep, when you wake up, first thing you become conscious of yourself, which is ahangaram. Now, this chapter is a very, very subtle chapter. I can tell you that because you will see this. It is from this chapter, Advaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, Dvaitam, all the three has come from this chapter. They are going to talk about three entities, Kshara Purusha, Akshara Purusha and Purushottamam. Right? Three aspects is going to come in this chapter. Kshara Purusha, Akshara Purusha and Purushottamam. Dvaitam is based on Kshara Purusha. Vishishta Dvaitam is based on Akshara Purusha. Advaitam is based on Purushottamam. That is how they have come from. These three realizations. Purushottama realization is Advaitam. Akshara Purusha realization is Vishishta Advaitam. Kshara Purusha realization is Dvaitam. Yeah. They are thoughtful, very thoughtful about all these things. Before they came to these, that's why this chapter is so important. That all these three major schools of philosophy, Vedantam, these three are the major schools of Vedantam. Advaitam, Dvaitam and Vishishta Advaitam. All three of them has come from this chapter. In Bhagavad Gita, you find all the three in this chapter. Kshara Purusha, Akshara Purusha and Purushottama. In all the three things. Yeah. So, we have talked about the mind. You feel the world's existence only when the mind comes. Otherwise, where is the world? Right? And But then, when you go on to deep sleep state, right, something you have experienced, and when you wake up, you are saying that it was nice. I enjoyed that deep sleep state, right? Strictly speaking, in Sushupti, that happiness what you experienced should not come because it should not happen, isn't it? In Sushupti, you should not get happiness. Why? Because according to our way of analyzing things, right? In order to feel some happiness inside, I have to see something, I have to hear something, I have to taste something, I have to smell something, I have to touch something. This is how my happiness in this world is, through these five senses, is it not? But there is no senses in the Sushupti state. But when I wake up, I am saying I was happy. Just see the problem. When you go in your procedure of looking at the world, through five senses you are getting happiness in this world. And the only thing what we know is that what we get through three, five senses is only, alone can give you happiness. Normally, only what you get through the five senses alone can give you happiness. But when you go to Sushupti, no senses are working. And then you are waking up in the morning and saying, I was happy. So where did that happiness come from then? Right? So, just like you observe, if you look at ourselves, if I get very bored, what do? I take my mobile and look at it, some reels or Facebook or something like that. Go and I feel some happiness from that, isn't it? So what does that mean? I'm trying to get some happiness through senses. Somewhere I'm looking for happiness, right? Otherwise, I would like to hear some music. Some people like pop music. We call that as papa music. The pop music, right? So, or people like to see some movies or something like that, right? In other words, you can see straight away, if you are bored, what do? You try to get some happiness through one of the senses, whichever way it is. Or have some snacks to eat, tasting, or seeing something, or hearing something, or smelling something, or touching something. These are the five avenues where you can become happy in this world. And strange enough, when you go to the deep sleep state, none of these five avenues are there, and then you are coming up and saying that you were happy then. So where did that happiness come from, right? So, this is a big question. This is where you start realizing that Atma is real. No science can give you any answer to this question. Science has not answered this question till now. That in our daily life, a whole day, we are getting happiness through the five senses. And we call that as happiness. Everything in this world is through five senses. Is it not? All happiness, whichever, you may do it in different ways. People may do it in different places in different ways. But ultimately it comes to this one thing. That whatever I say happiness, I'm happy when I say I'm happy or I'm enjoying life. It has to be through one of these five. It has to be through one of these five ways. Say if I go to somebody gives me a nice feast, I will enjoy that. Or if I go on holiday somewhere, I'll enjoy that. That means my eyes are happy going on another place, seeing things. And if I get a nice feast, I'm happy, my tongue is satisfied. Or same way, if I hear some nice music, I'm happy. So ears are satisfied. So except these five things, there is nothing else in this world to make you happy. Nothing else can make you happy except these five things has to bring something in. When it is like that, and then they are totally absent, in the Sushupti state, you are saying you were happy. And you want that state back when you wake up. If you can go back to it again, you will happily go back to it. So, what does that mean? It means that, where did that happiness in Sushupti came from? This is the big question, right? So, and it's a very explosive question, right? If you ask this question within yourself, the answer will not be a verbal answer because it is you will get some insight into about yourself. You will get some insight. You start thinking there is something else inside which is giving you happiness. And that's Antaryami. Shastram says it's Antaryami. And you won't be able to refute that. Is it not? You can't put more logical than this, can you? You can't say anything more logical than this. I'm getting all my happiness from this world through the senses. And when all the senses are shut down, when I go into deep sleep state, I feel some happiness from that. I becoming what they call is, I get completely unburdened. All my burden has gone from me. Burden about my body, burden about my mind, about my family, about my all other problems of this world. You are able to completely wipe it off from you, and you are feeling happiness from that. Where did that happiness come from? That question one has to ask oneself. And that's a method of inquiry. Spiritual inquiry begins like that, right? So, and that experience what you had in the deep sleep, what has come, is that you did not create that happiness. It came to you on its own. The moment you fell into deep sleep state, that happiness came to you. All your worries have gone, all your anxieties have gone, all your concerns about the body has gone, about the family has gone, about everything else in this world has gone away, right? What that means is, you are getting closer to the Antaryami inside. Somewhere closer to Antaryami, you are there, and it is from that Antaryami's connection, in a very limited way, that has given you that happiness. This is the way to understand Antaryami. There is no other way. That is why this question is one of the most important questions in Vedanta. They will ask this question first. That these five senses and the worldly happiness what you got through completely is absent in the deep sleep state. But you are saying you got happiness in the deep sleep state. Where did that come from? If you ask that question, you got to agree with the Vedanta saying that it comes from Antaryami. It comes from. That is how you establish the existence of Antaryami inside. To establish the existence of Antaryami inside, right? So, at that moment, what you're realizing is just like the glass on top of your nose, right? I'm keeping the glass here and I keep inquiring everywhere where my glass is. In the same way, Kandhabharana Nyayam, it's called. People who are wearing some, you know, jewelry on the neck, they are looking for the jewelry everywhere else. It's already there. It is that close, the truth, to us. That means Antaryami is so close to us that he is able to, because he is present inside, he is able to give you that happiness straight away in the deep sleep state. Right? So this deep sleep or Sushupti is there to show to us that in our spiritual identity, there is happiness. To show to us, that's what the deep sleep state does to us, right? So, that experience of deep sleep is an indication of, is an indication that in our spiritual identity, there is bliss. That bliss nature. Ananda. Yeah? It didn't come from anywhere else except from our spiritual nature, spiritual identity, right? So, some people, they don't know what Sushupti means, isn't it? There are people in this world who don't know what Sushupti is, right? And because a lot of people are half-boiled, half-cooked. They live in this world like that, you see, right? So, what is the question? The question is that, where is the happiness coming in the deep sleep? Where is it coming from, right? Because you are not having any of the senses working at that time. Seeing, tasting, smelling, touching, hearing, nothing there. Still you felt happy. Where did that come from, right? And also, and you are not, the person is not there. Only happiness was there. Ahangaram has also gone. The person, ahangaram has also gone. So, to understand what we have just said now, doesn't require much of a intelligence or Vedantam, isn't it? It's just logical, it is. Just logical, is it not? Right. So, we have not seen Vaikuntham. We have not seen Kailasam. All the great places where we are planning to go one day. We have not seen all those things, right? But this one thing, every day you are getting the experience, this deep sleep state and this existence of happiness, what you are experiencing, it's happening to us every day, right? And that's the only thing we don't get bored with. Which one? This deep sleep state. You don't get bored with that, right? All other things, what you get through senses, right? After some time you'll get bored. Even if it's a movie or a serial or whatever it is, after some time you get bored with that. Or similarly, any music also, after hearing for a few times, you get bored with that. Similarly with the smell, similarly with the touch, even with the taste. Suppose you like sweet rice. I gave you loads of sweet rice. After taking half a liter or liter, you said, I had enough now. You will give up like that, right? But this one, deep sleep state, Sushupti, if you get it, you don't get bored with it any time, right? So, it is not an action. It's not a karmam, isn't it? Only thing is what has happened there is the mind is gone. Mind has gone. And instead of distress, what normally happens, you are feeling happiness. That is the question. Why? Why is it like that? Normally, when you have a mind is working. It's not happiness all the time, isn't it? You get some happiness, then after some time some distress comes, something else will come. Whereas in Sushupti, you don't have that. Only happiness, no distress at all, right? And suppose you have nothing in the Sushupti, actually you should be suffering there, because you have nothing then. In normal situations, when you don't see, you go want to see something to become happy, or want to taste something to become happy, or want to smell something to become happy, or want to touch something to become happy, or want to taste something to become happy. But in Sushupti, what is interesting there is that instead of becoming unhappy, although you don't have any of those things, instead of getting distressed, you are feeling happy. The other way it is. What happens in the Sushupti? Sushupti, you have to analyze it very well. Krishna has put this Sushupti is just like a opportunity to realize the Antaryami inside, right? So, from that you have to conclude that happiness is our Swarupam. In our Swarupam, in our identity, Atma is happy. That is its very nature, right? And in order to become happy, you don't have to do anything. Like in the vacant state, to become happy, you have to do something. But in Sushupti, happiness is coming without doing anything. What it shows that in Swarupam, there is happiness. Anandam is there, right? That means even without the body, you can be happy in the deeps, in the Sushupti. And that's what Sushupti is teaching us, right? So, if you have that knowledge of the Sushupti, then when will that be beneficial to us, right? When will this knowledge be beneficial to us? This what we have spoken this morning. When is this knowledge going to be beneficial to us, right? For most of the people, it becomes beneficial when your body becomes finished. Body is finished, right? Suppose the body cannot do anything anymore. Body has become helpless, right? We have become, the body is not able to function anymore. Look at Bhishma in Mahabharatam. He was in that moksha parvam. He is lying on the bed of arrows, Sharashaya, right? And whole body, the arrows are piercing. Arjuna created a bed of arrows. And Bhishma is lying on that. And all the arrows that has gone on to his body during the battlefield, it's all there. Nothing has been taken out. That's why you must have seen that picture. They are made out of that, right? He cannot get up from the bed, from that bed of arrows, right? Can't even move anywhere. And he can't do his Sandhyavandanam or whatever he used to do that. He can't even chant. And that is, at that time, he is saying to Yudhishthira, what is he saying to him? That I am doing something which I cannot be done with the body, which and which cannot be done with the mind, because when the mind, when the body is feeling the pain, the mind will take the side of the body. Is it not? You know how it is. When the body is suffering, body is having problem, pain, heavy pain in the body, the mind won't join with us. What we want the mind to do, mind will go and take the side with the body. Mind support the body at that time, right? So, without all these things, when your body is suffering, right, and when the mind is supporting the body, body is having pain, and the mind is also supporting the body. Bhishma is saying, behind all these things, there is something I am seeing. Bhishma says, something I am seeing, that happiness is keeping me going. That was Bhishma's answer to Yudhishthira. That happiness is keeping me going, because behind this body, behind the mind, none of them are helping me now, but I am finding some happiness from something which is behind all these things. That is how Bhishma answered that question, right? So, so when you see people, when we get older, and when you are getting closer to the boarding the gate, for the departure gate, right? So, when people suffer in different ways, yeah, people suffer in different ways, and lot of suffering comes at that time, right? And if you get this, what Bhishma got, that is the security for that, right? As quickly as possible, we will realize that there is no security in the body or in the mind. There is no security in the body or in the mind, and there is no security in this world either. In this world either, right? All security is in that Antaryami, our real self, our real self, right? So, Sarvado Bhadram. So, and that security is there, and there is Shanti there, and there is happiness there. The intimation of that for us is Sushupti. Krishna has given us this Sushupti to tell us that if you learn from this, Jagrat Sopnam Sushupti, that Sushupti stays as an intimation for us. Remember what we discussed before, in body you can never be perfect, in mind you cannot be perfect, in the world you cannot be perfect. Krishna is saying perfection is in the self, real self. That's the only place where there is perfection. So, Bhishma is saying, I took shelter of that, he realized it there, and due to that, this imperfection of the body, imperfection of the mind, imperfection of the world did not affect him. He was not affected by that. That is why he was able to answer all the questions of Yudhishthira there while lying on the bed of arrows. So, Upanishad is saying this, that Vedam says that, Upanishad is saying that, that one who has realized that, that this Antaryami inside, which is your real identity, that is the place where you have to take shelter, not anywhere else, right? And one who takes shelter there, he is always in the perfect stage. He is always in the perfect stage. But all of us are going to Sushupti daily, to some time at least. You get some Sushupti at least, right? Everybody is going there, but only one who is conscious of Sushupti properly can learn these things. Everybody, all billions of people are going into Sushupti, right? But he is not conscious of this. Sushupti's power, right? And that is why everybody is sleeping, but everybody is not developing spiritual knowledge. Only those who are conscious of Sushupti, they can go further from there, right? Just because you've gone into Sushupti doesn't mean you will get spiritual knowledge. Just because you have gone into Sushupti doesn't mean that you will get spiritual knowledge, right? So, Sushupti is like a taste Krishna is giving us of a self-realization. He's giving us a taste of self-realization in Sushupti, right? And it is left to us, it's an experience of given to us free while we are sleeping, of self-realization, right? And if this, with this experience of Sushupti, if you do mananam on that, contemplation on that, then you will know that, you will know your real existence and this state, what Sushupti is all about, right? And in that state, as you know, that there is no body. You don't have your body. You don't have a mind. You don't have your ahangaram. And you don't have this world either. Right? The world has gone. The ahangaram has gone. The mind has gone. Intelligence has gone. The body has gone. The senses have gone. Everything has gone. Right? Even the form you are worshipping in the vacant state of Krishna, even that form is also not there. Ishvara, whom you can see, you go to the temple, the deity worship, all that, even that form also goes away. And that is our daily experience, right? So, and this experience is not for one person. For Shuga Brahmarshi, for Janaka, for Vedavyasa Maharshi, for Shankaracharya, for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for everybody, this holds good. Is it not? When they are in Sushupti, this is applicable to everybody in the spiritual field. It doesn't matter who it is, right? So this is not, so rishis are saying to us, this is not only our experience, it's your experience as well. That's how they put it to us, right? And this is your only wealth, that Sushupti stage, utilizing it in life and learning from that, right? And one who has managed to get to that state of Sushupti, brought into vacant state, he is a jnani. He is a realized soul. That's all it is. That experience in Sushupti, what you have, if you are able to stay in that state, in the vacant state, then you are a realized soul. You are a realized soul. All other things are temporary. Therefore, that is why Krishna said that this whole thing, Krishna has put in that one line in the last chapter. Brahmano hi pratishtaham. That line is reflecting this whole thing. Brahmano hi pratishtaham, Krishna says. Aham is that Sushupti state, what you are experiencing, and that is Brahman, Krishna says. Brahman realization is what you are having in the Sushupti. And that is why it's called Brahmano hi pratishtaham. Remember that word? Amrutasya avyayasya cha. That verse is the one which is leading to the next chapter. This 15th chapter. Brahmanohi pratishtaham amrutasya avyayasya cha. Shashvatasya cha dharmasya sugasya egandikasya cha. Right? So, he is saying there, you have to, if you are inquiring about Brahman, then you have to, seek that truth in consciousness. That is bodham, prajna. Different names, one same thing, prajna, consciousness, bodham, andaryami. In different names you are calling that, but that is where you have to inquire. No other places. Yeah? So what is Brahman? Brahman is that pure consciousness, bodham. One of the four Mahavakyam is prajnanam Brahman. So prajnanam is that, prajnanam Brahman, bodham. Where what it means is that without the help of senses, without the help of mind, something what you are experiencing. Everything normally we experience through mind and senses. But without the help of the mind, without the help of the senses, something you are experiencing. And that is what it is called, prajnanam. Prajnanam means jnanam, that is not coming through the senses, not coming through the mind. These verses requires a lot of thinking. Because this chapter is very subtle, it is, this chapter, 15th chapter. Probably you know, because of this chapter's importance, in ashrams, different ashramam, before they take prasadam, they recite this chapter. Like we recite Sharira Vidya Jal, in the ashrams normally they recite this 15th chapter. because it's all about Antaryami. It's all about Antaryami. More and more, Krishna is establishing Antaryami's position inside and take us closer to it through very reasonable arguments. Logic he is presenting to us. When you study this chapter, you can immediately understand that the way science is going is not going to get us anywhere. It will go on like this, year after year after year after year after year. Research, 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 research. Where is this research going to end? The answer is already there. Krishna is saying, realize Antaryami inside, all your questions are answered with that. Everything is over, right? So, prajnanam, if you ask the question, the understanding this bodham, prajnanam, prajnanam brahmam, that's the fourth one, isn't it? Aham brahmasmi, tattvamasi, ayam atman brahma, prajnanam brahmam. Prajnanam brahmam is this realization, yeah? If you ask the question, is there a knowledge like that? Yes, it is there. For example, suppose you switch off all the lights here and it is completely dark, right? But whether there is light or not, I am fully conscious of my existence, isn't it? My awareness does not leave me. I exist, I know. I don't need a light for me to know that I exist. Similarly, every one of us, we know our existence without the support of any light. So in other words, if you want to know something else outside from you, you require the eyes, you require the light, everything. Similarly, if you want to hear any sound, you require the ear. Smell, you require the nose. But to know your existence, you don't need any of these things. You are conscious of your existence without the help of all these things, right? So my existence, I get to know, I am experiencing it all the time, and that is aham. Brahmanohi pratishtaham, Krishna says. That aham is your actual identity. Brahmanohi pratishtaham. It is based on this aham Krishna has spoken Bhagavad Gita. You know that. In so many places he used that word. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matha sarvam pravartade aham atma gudakesha. Aham sarvasya prabhavo. All aham aham talking about it is as Brahmam. He is speaking that. Brahmanohi pratishtaham. Aham is Brahmam. That Brahmam. Right? So, and that is referred to as sometimes as jyotis inside, the light inside. And why is it called the light? Not because it is a light like this. It is able to give us the experience on its own. It doesn't require the support of another light. Aham, awareness, bodham in us, we are able to experience it without the help of anything else. And therefore, it is called, that itself is the light. You know, sometimes, Antaryami, they are referring to as Jyotis. Or sometimes say, there is, I saw the light inside, they say. What do they mean by that? The light means that it is capable of making you aware of its existence on its own without the help of any another support, another external support. Yeah. So Antaryami is Prakasham, light, right? Antaryami is Prakasham. Prakasham means light. That means it is capable of giving you its existence, awareness. Prakriti is Jadam. Prakriti is Jadam. Jadam means Maya. Maya. Prakriti is Jadam, Maya. What is Maya? Maya means that this awareness inside us, that aham, that bodham, awareness inside, all that requires is to be qualified for that, and a guru, he is realized. If they come together, in a few seconds, you are realized. The truth. Suppose you are qualified and the guru also is a realized soul, he can give it to you straight away. You can get it, experience that straight away, right? That's all it requires, that awareness. So except this awareness, aham, bodham, inside, everything else is maya. Everything else is maya, right? Because this is the only thing what we all have got it with us. This aham, bodham. Right? You can see when we die, we leave the gross body here. Subtle body also will change. That means you are losing the certain body as well. Even though if we have vasanas, vasanas will go with you to the next body. But suppose you become free from all the vasana, means your subtle body is dead, finished. So gross body dead, subtle body dead. But then what remains? This aham, bodham, awareness still remains, right? So in Vedantam, what they will say is, except this aham, everything else is appearance only. Appearance. They are there, appeared in front of you, and they will go from you. You don't have any control. As I said, it is difficult to come to that state, isn't it? That, you see, the fortunate people are those who have taken this seriously from very early in life and practiced it. And they realized it. And they don't have any problem with it. It is because we are at a much later date, we are coming to this. So it becomes more difficult. Because a lot of garbage is already inside. I have to clear up all that. But in their understanding that the except that bodham, awareness, I haven't got anything else in this world. That's all every one of us have. That bodham, awareness, I exist, awareness, right? Everything else is appearance. Body is an appearance as far as the Shastram is concerned. It has come one day and it will leave you one day. Mind has come one day, mind will go one day. And similarly, intelligence also. You can see that even at the time of death, right? Very intelligent people, they are not able, they have forgotten everything. Memory has gone. So all their knowledge, what they have acquired, is also gone with that. So then what have we got with us then? Body is going. You are in the deathbed, right? The body is on its way out. Body is going. So you know the body is going to go. If you think about the other things, like what you have studied the whole life and all the knowledge what you have collected in this world, even those things are not yours. They are also, with the mind going, buddhi gone, they also go. So then what have you got then? What's left then? So that's what he's saying here. And therefore, they are all considered from the Shastram point of view, it's considered as the only appearance. Prakriti has given it to you. It means Prakriti has created this around you. This body, gross body, subtle body, everything. And Prakriti will pull it out of you when the time is right. When the time is... This is our connection with Prakriti. This is the connection with Prakriti. We'll have a break. We'll continue after that.
Cheto darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davagni nirvapanam Shreyakaitava Chandriga Vidaranam Vidyavadho Jeevanam Anandam Budhivardhanam Pradipada Purnamrita Swadhanam Sarvatna Subhanam Param Vijayade Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Annamakari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti Tatra Arpida Nimida Smaranena Kala Eta Adrishita Vakriba Bhagavan Mamapi Turdeva Vidrashamiha Jani Nanuragaha Tranaravishuni Jaina, Taroravi Sahishuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari, Nathanam Najanam Nasundari, Kavidamba, Jagadi Shakamai, Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari, Bhavadal Bhakti Rahai, Dugitwai, Ai Nandatanu Jakinkaram, Patita Mam Shami, Bhavam Bodo, Rubayatava Pada Pangajastita Duli, Sadasham Vichindaya, Nayanam galada shudharaya, vadanam gaddada rudhaya agira, pulagayar nuchidam kadavapu, tavannama grahane bhavishyadi, yuga idam nimeshena, chakshusha pravisha idam, shunya idam jagal sarvam, govinda virahe name, ashrishava padaradam pinashtumam, adarshanam armahadam karotuva, yatha tadava vidadha dulambado, Alpranatha Sunayevana Para Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sangirtanam Govinda Govinda.
So we are saying that aham, brahmanohi pradishtaham, that aham, awareness, bodham, that is the only thing what we have, nothing else. Nothing else is ours. right? Everything else is prakriti, prakriti, maya. And maya means that you haven't got it, she has got it, maya has got it, and you cannot take any ownership of any of those things as yours, right? Just like my body, for example. I cannot experience the body. I'm falsely thinking by identifying with the body, it is my body. And many of these bodies, my own body, how much knowledge do I have about my own body? Very limited, isn't it? For example, I have not seen my backside. They're talking about my spine. I have not seen my spine. They say there is a spine in my body, right? And similarly, I have not seen my heart either. People say there is a heart inside, but I have not seen my heart, right? Even the heart specialist, he has not seen his heart. Heart specialist, he has also not seen his heart. Probably if he can take a scan and then look at the film and then say, this is my heart. But he has not seen his heart, right? In the same way, he may have seen others' heart, but his own heart he has not seen, right? In the same way, the liver specialist, he has not seen his liver. He may have seen others' liver, right? Same thing with the kidney. Same with the... these surgeons also, they have not seen their own kidneys or their own liver, but they are operating others' kidneys and livers. And they are imagining there is something like that within them, their own body as well, right? So you can see that all your parts of the body also is not completely seen by you. You're only seeing the body's external things, is it not? You see the hands and legs externally, but inside what is all going on, you don't know anything about it, right? So, but this is trying to understand the way Vedantam looks at it, right? This awareness inside, bodham, of our existence, you are completely conscious of that, is it not? Whereas the body, you are not. See, body, as I said, the kidneys, liver, and so many parts of this body, I am not conscious of that. It is there, they are told, and it is doing some work on its own. Apart from that, what connection do I have with that? Nothing. Whereas my connection with this awareness is much more stronger, because that's with me all the time. It's not leaving me. I cannot be separated from that. Whereas kidney, liver, everything can be separated. Right? So that is why Krishna is saying to this, that word, you notice that line very carefully. Brahmanohi pratishtaham. Aham, awareness, bodham, alone is Brahmam. That's you. That's you. Only bodham is you. Brahmanohi pratishtaham. Yeah? Amrutasya avyayasya cha, shashvatasya dharmasya sugasya egandhikasya cha. So, it is with this statement Krishna concluded the last chapter. Brahmanohi pratishtaham. Yeah? So, that Brahmanohi pratishtaham means that pratyagalpa inside, andaryami, that's you. And Krishna is saying to Arjuna that I am that pratyagalpa. And if you know that pratyagalpa, then you will know Brahmam, he said. If you get to know that pratyagalpa andaryami inside, then you will know the Brahmam. And if you know Brahmam, you will know what dharmam is. Shashvatasya dharmasya, right? And you will have, with the result of that, once you know what dharmam is, then you will have shashvata sukham as well, which is a self-realized state. Yeah. So all that is covered in that one verse. Yeah. So that's why that verse is important. That's a verse that is start created this chapter, this last verse, 27th verse in the 14th chapter. Brahmanohi pratishtaham amradasya avyayasya cha shashvatasya cha dharmasya sugasya egandhikasya cha. That verse triggered this chapter. When Krishna said that to Arjuna, Arjuna, that is what you are, that pratyagalpa inside, your awareness bodham, only that is you, nothing else. everything else is not yours. It has come from Prakriti. It will go back to Prakriti. We are seeing that, but we are not, because of our identification with the body is so strong that we are not able to understand what Krishna is saying. Right? So much I am identifying with the body, so strongly, that when somebody tells me I am not the body, I just cannot agree with it. So much doubts comes inside, is it not? So, Krishna put an end to that, to Arjuna. He told Arjuna, Arjuna, brahmanohi pradishtaham. Aham brahmasmi. That's what it means. Aham is Brahma. Brahmanohi pradishtaham. Aham brahmasmi. Aham is Brahma. Nothing else is Brahma. Because amrdasya avyasya, that Brahma's nature is amrdam, immortality. Never gets killed, destroyed or anything. And avyasya, never changes either. You know, connected with Prahlada's statement in the Bhagavatam, same thing what Prahlada is saying. 12 qualifications of the soul, mentioned there, isn't it? And 6 qualities of the body. For this reason only. And once you get that in strongly established there, then you are free. You have nothing to worry about then. Like Bhishma said in the battlefield, that I have gone and touched that, Antaryami. And therefore, what's happening to the body is not bothering me, nor the mind. Nothing. Nothing is having any effect on him. So, having said that, he said, permanent thing is that Atma, right? And Krishna said that without knowing that Atma, if you leave this body, then your life is a waste. You have not got anything from this life, right? So, when you could still have a doubts about it, even though Krishna is trying to get this into our head, he's hammering it again and again, but still the doubts will come, that in order to know him, you don't need this world. To know your own Swarupam, you don't need this world, right? None of the sense objects in this world you require for knowing him, knowing that Antaryami. Why? Because Antaryami is capable of revealing to you of your nature. You get the point? Antaryami can, from inside, give you that realization. You don't need the world outside to realize him, to realize your identity. Your identity is that Antaryami. If Antaryami wants it, without the help of anything in this world, he can reveal it to you from inside. He will reveal it to you, right? So, and that is why one who is capable of doing that, Krishna calls that as Pratyagalpa, Pratyagalpa Chaitanyam, right? So, if you know this Antaryami inside, then you have touched the source. You have touched the source, right? In other words, if you know yourself, then you can know the truth. You don't need to know anything else, right? So, or in other words, you can take it like this, that this Antaryami is where the truth is. Krishna is. Ishvara, whichever way you call it. Remember, Bhagavad Gita. Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi. Very powerful verses they are. Brahmayan sarvabhudani yantrarudhani mayayam. So, where can you have a contact with the truth, right? In yourself. So, experience of God in yourself. That's what it is. You experience a God in yourself, or absolute happiness in yourself. That's where it is, right? Yourself means this experience of the self inside, and nothing else is me. Only this experience of awareness inside, bodham. That's me, nothing else. Body is not me, mind is not me, intelligence is not me, ego is not me, none of them, right? So, my actual form is not this body. It is this aham, anubhavam, experience of aham, awareness, bodham. That is my actual form, right? And not these eyes and ears and the nose and mouth and all that. This is not my form. This is all coming from the Prakriti, right? So that anubhavam inside, aham, Krishna has spoken that
is the sea is Brahmam, Aham, and it is the seat of Dharmam, he said. Shashodasya Dharmasya, he says. That is Dharmam, and it's a seat of Dharmam, and it is also a seat of happiness. Seat of Dharmam, as well as a seat of happiness, and it is also the seat of Brahmam. Seat of Brahmam, seat of happiness, and seat of Dharmam. Everything is that Aham. That's why that last verse is important. Brahmanohi pratishtaham amrdasya avayasya shashodasya dharmasya sukha segandikasya. Right? And he said all these things. Unfortunately, what's happening to us is that aham, which is in our immediate experience, every minute, awareness, bodham, we did not give any attention to that, right? And instead, we are seeing everything in this world and got entangled with that. This is the misfortune. Instead of giving attention to that awareness, bodham, which is our identity as well, where Krishna is saying, that is Brahmam, aham brahmasmi, which is amrutvam, is their immortality, avyayasya, no change happens, where is the source of all happiness, and where is the source of all dharmam, and which is the source of all sukham, completely we have ignored it, and we threw all our existence into the, all our attention into the world, which is prakriti or maya, and which is temporary, and we are busy with that. This is our life in this world, right? And therefore what happens? Our attention is continuously flowing into the world all the time, right? It is not staying there. Is it not? Whole attention, most of the time, it's in the world outside, right? So the same thing, it is not staying there. The attention is not going there. It's not going there, first of all. What a question of staying there? It's not even going there. Unless it goes there, it's not going to stay there, is it not? And Krishna is expecting that it should be staying there all the time. So, that is why, you see, Krishna used that word from Kathopanishad. Paranjikhanivya tranal swayambhu tasmal parang pashari andaralman kashchit diraha pratyagalpanam aichat avurta chakshum amrutvam ichan. Famous words it is, yeah? Paranjikhanivya tranal swayambhu. These senses, all what it has done to us, it has taken our attention to the world and trapped us in the world. That's what senses have done to us. Yeah. So, and then Upanishad is saying that kashyal dhiraha, one who has understood it properly and who is able to withdraw the world, senses from the world and turn invites towards, internally towards pratyagatma, avurta chakshul amrutvam ichvan, his chakshus has helped him to realize immortality. Amrutvam ichan. What Krishna is saying is the same thing. What Upanishad is saying. What Kathopanishad is saying, that's what Krishna is saying in that word. Kathopanishad has put it a little bit more in detail. Paranjikhanil vidranal swayambhu tasmal parang pashari na andaralpan kashyal diraha pratyagalpanam aikshad avurta chakshu amrutvam ichan. You can get this Kathopanishad, a copy, easily from various places. It's not a big Upanishad, it's a very small Upanishad. It's only three chapters. And you will find each chapter, many of those verses, is coming to Bhagavad Gita directly or indirectly. It's there in the Bhagavad Gita. Kathopanishad has the maximum influence on Bhagavad Gita. Kathopanishad has the maximum influence on Bhagavad Gita. The other Upanishads like Chandokyam, Taittiriyam, they all have, but Kathopanishad is everywhere in the Bhagavad Gita. Even in the second chapter, many verses. Same thing in the next, this chapter also is going to come like that. There are other places as well, yeah? So, when you connect these two things, you start realizing what the message is, yeah? He's saying a dhira is such a person who has withdrawn his senses from the world outside and he decided, I have to escape from the cycle of birth and death and able to control the senses and not allow them to go away freely. That's called pratyaharam in the yoga process. Ashtanga yogis do the same thing. They withdraw the senses. It's called pratyahara. Yamam, niyamam, asanam, pranayamam, pratyaharam. Pratyahara means withdrawing the senses, right? Amrutatva michyan. Ultimately, we are all on our way, isn't it? Towards what? Death. Isn't it? Some of us will leave early, some of you may stay a little longer. But at the end, the destination is the same. All of us are going towards that. Going to leave the body one day and go, right? So, Ramayanam will say this, Chatushravana galasthamam darduram, like this frog in the mouth of the snake, right? And Chatushravana, is called Chatushravana, right? And the frog in the mouth, and a fly is going in front of that. The frog wants to get it. He is already dying. We are like that, right at this moment, are we not? The death is eating us. Every day she is getting us closer to that. But what are we doing? We are seeing, is there any way of enjoying here? Looking for some happiness in this world. Or we think we have to change the world as though we have this. Krishna has sent us here to sort out this world. Every jiva gets into this illusion, right? So, just like the frog in the mouth of the snake, when the fly comes, the frog wants to get it to eat. Even though the frog is going into the mouth of the, into the belly of the snake, right? Similarly, this snake called death is trying to eat us, take us inside. But we are thinking, oh, we have got a lot of things to do in this world. And a lot of projects is running same time to sort this out, right? So, sometimes you will see this in the old people even, 90 years old, and still making plans how to organize everything, right? So, one old man, he wrote his will, you know. Every time this advertisement about the wills come in the YouTube and all that, you can see the will, how important it is to make the will, right? So, one man who is 80 years old, he wrote his will because the children forced him, told him that we want everything to be clear to each other. They are not worried whether he is dying or not. All they are bothered about is that the will should be clear, that you all get your share, because they are worried about themselves more than the old person, right? So he wrote the will in such a way, he says, when the children are all dead, it will all come back to me, it should come back to me. That's how he wrote the will. He is 80 years old, children are asking for the will, and he wrote the will in such a way that when they are dead, it should all come back to me in such a way. He wrote the will, right? So, drishti, our sight is in the world outside, bahirmukham, right? And to think like this, that this bahya drishti, our vision in the world outside, it's so strong, right? No matter how much the rishis tell us that our actual identity is not this body, it is this antaryami inside. And even if the great personalities have spoken this, realized souls, even if the spiritual master has spoken this, Shastram has told us, still our attention is not going there. It's going to the world outside. Is it not? Is that not the truth? In spite of that fact that Krishna has said this, the spiritual master has spoken this, great realized souls have said this, in spite of all that, our attention is still in the world. It's not turning inwards. It's not turning inwards, right? Because when people see this difficulty, when you say this to people, right, this problem in spiritual life, not able to turn the attention from the world to adhyatmam, spiritual life, right, that is when Krishna's mercy comes in. That's where Krishna's mercy comes in. Only when there is Krishna's mercy, this attention will turn inwards, right? So, if the attention does not turn inside, this whole realization what Krishna is talking about won't make any sense. It will remain like a dream state, for us, right? So, therefore, this kripa or mercy, Krishna's mercy is this, that our attention goes away from the world, it goes towards Antaryami. That's what it is saying here, right? And that is the mercy of Ishara Kripa or Andaryami's Kripa, Atma Kripa. It's called by different names, right? And Atma Prasadam, Guru Prasadam, all these is things that everything is, it all means the same thing. Guru Prasadam, Atma Prasadam, or you can call it as Andaryami's Prasadam, Ishara Prasadam. We are using different words. It all means the same thing, right? So, so this mercy, kripa, is essential to get this attention to move from the world to the Andaryami inside, right? And if that happens, when Chitta Shuddhi comes, that's where bhakti comes in. When Chitta Shuddhi happens, when we become free from all our impurities in the heart, through bhakti, it is at that time from inside Andaryami will reveal to you that this is what you are. You don't need to do anything after that, right? So, in other words, either it will reveal to you directly or it will bring someone in front of you who will show it to you, and that's Guru. That is Guru, right? And that Guru comes at that stage. When things are ready for that, Krishna will, this arrangement is in the Prakriti, it's already there, right? And it will bring the Shastram, it will bring the Guru and all the support you need when you have reached that state of purity, right? And at that time, amazingly, when you hear these things from Bhagavad Gita and the Upanishads, it will all become your own. In other words, you will start accepting it without any difficulty. Not now. Not at this stage. That is why when they teach Upanishads and all, they know very well that nothing is going in. It's all just like on the top of the head, right? But at what stage does it go inside? Only at that stage. When it has come to that level, after Chitta Shuddhi has happened, when Andaryami's mercy comes, he will either give it to you from inside, or he will bring someone outside in the form of Guru and he will reveal to you, and all these things what is spoken here will all make sense at that time. You will immediately accept it without any difficulty. Only at that stage. Yeah. So, if you talk to people, you will get to know this, right? Some people, they come to Satsangam. Right? They'll sit in the Satsangam. And then they'll say, oh, I can't understand anything what he's saying, what he's spoken. I can't understand anything. And then complain like that, and then after some, they'll give up. Satsangam, they'll give up. Sometimes you can see people who come, stay for some time, few classes they'll come, and then they'll get bored with it. It's not making any... One or two people told me it's not making any sense to us. So I'm going, he said. They feel it like that, right? But then, what happens to them? Some people, I'm saying, not everybody, some people, by something through the twist of their destiny, whatever you can call it, some heavy suffering came into their life. Yeah, they had to suffer heavily due to some problems in life, right? And when they suffered heavily due to that, and they will come back again, and they want to listen again. Yeah, they wanted to listen again. What that means is, I'm able to understand something now what you're saying. They will say at that time, after getting a lot of suffering. So what has changed now? Earlier also they were listening. Now also they are listening. But earlier they were saying that I can't understand what you are saying. But now they are saying after all this suffering they come back and listen. They say it makes sense now what you're... It's getting in, something is going inside. They say that. So, what has happened here is, due to suffering in life, some Chitta Shuddhi has happened. That's what it is, basically. That Ahangaram has come down a bit and started seeing there is suffering in this world. First of all, you have to recognize that. And even people are not willing to recognize that there is suffering in this world. This is a situation, right? So, when suffering, a lot of suffering comes in life, what it does to us is, Chitta Shuddhi comes from that. Therefore, Paramacharya said one time, it was a beautiful statement, what he said was, when suffering comes in life, feel happy about it, because you are getting purified in that process. In that process, you are getting purified, he said. Don't fight against that. Accept it, he said. And Krishna is also saying the same thing. When suffering comes in life, don't think that you are losing everything. No, suffering is actually a purification process. So, when a lot of suffering comes, Chitta Shuddhi happens. That's the beauty of that. At that time, when Chitta Shuddhi happens, you become qualified for the mercy of the Antaryami. Antaryami's mercy, you become qualified for that. And from inside itself, Antaryami gives you the power to understand everything what Krishna is saying here. Right? And you get that, you get this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads and all like that, without any struggle. At the moment, what we are doing, we are reasonably comfortable in this world. So we are not too bothered about it. And what with our mind and intelligence, you are trying to understand different verses. And then you are saying it makes some sense. Some things you are saying is not making any sense. It's all based on mind and intelligence. But this knowledge, what Krishna is saying is between you and Antaryami. You and Antaryami. It is not something with your mind and intelligence. Yeah. So at that stage, when suffering has happened in life, when some Chitta Shuddhi has happened, at that time, Antaryami inside give you that power to experience this knowledge, right? And that is when you realize that that this knowledge has to come from inside, not from outside. Because at the moment, the Atma is covered with this body outside, right? And except from the Atma, knowledge cannot come from anywhere else. Except from the Antaryami. Knowledge cannot come from anywhere else, right? But due to that, you remember Avaranam, covering. Avaranam and Vikshepam, the two things, right? Due to that Avaranam, we are not able to have any connection. Avaranam is strong inside, that is why. So Atma from inside, when Chitta Shuddhi happens, what Atma does is, he removes that curtain and give you access to him. Access to him. And for those who are qualified for that, right? So what does Guru does? Guru, what he does is, he turns your attention away from the world to him, to Antaryami inside. That is the Guru's responsibility. Guru's duty is that, to take your attention from the world to the Antaryami inside and make that Antarmukhatvam, as what it is called, Antarmukhatvam. And from outside, Guru is pushing you inwards. From inside, Antaryami is pulling you inwards. Antaryami is pulling you inwards. So, that's what it is, right? It's a dual power operating at that time. From outside, Guru is pushing you inwards, not to waste all the energy in the world. Because Shraddha is an energy in us, that Shraddha. And if that whole Shraddha is spent on the world outside, then there is no Shraddha left for the Antaryami. So Antaryami's position is like this. From inside, Antaryami, when Chitta Shuddhi happens, give you that knowledge from inside. Guru from outside pushes your Shraddha inwards towards the Antaryami. Right. So, and this can happen, this force to operate, right? It requires a pushing from outside to go inwards, right? And this can happen in different ways. For example, when you go to some famous temples, right, where there is a lots of devotees who are all absorbed in spiritual life, spiritual discussions going on, or people are worshipping the deity very seriously. In such situations, you can sometimes develop this inward-looking nature. Your attention will go away from the world inwardly, right? You can get that from association with Mahatmas, great personalities, realized souls, right? So something which can make you to go inward, something which can make you to go inward from outside, right? Sometimes distress in life make you to go inward. So these are all factors in life which contribute for that. Distress in life, association with Mahalpas, or sometimes in very, very spiritual atmosphere, in ashramam or in some famous temples, things like that. So whatever it may be, any of them, right? At some stage, turning this attention from the world inwards, that if it is happening, you have to take it that it is Antaryami's Kripa. That is what called Antaryami's mercy, Antaryami's Kripa, right? So, you start thinking that this body or the mind is not me. Beyond and that, there is this existence, awareness, bodham, sarubam. If you start thinking like that, that itself is a big blessing. Antaryami's blessing itself. That is what that verse is saying. Brahmanohi pradishtaham. If your attention has turned inwards, means that's a big blessing from Antaryami inside. From Antaryami inside. So, if that happens, you can take it that Antaryami is very favorable to you. If your attention is going inwards and self-realization and presence of Antaryami, you have started accepting it, which will only happen when Chittashuddhi happens. And Antaryami from inside is giving you that, opening up that avidya part, avaranam, and giving you that experience from inside. The spiritual master from outside is pushing your attention inwards towards Antaryami. If all these things are happening, you can take it that the mercy is flowing from Antaryami, has started coming, right? So, so yasmat mad adhinam karmanaha karmanabhalam jnaninam cha jnanabhalam adhava bhakti yogena mam mal prasadal param shandim prasadam adigachadi, right? So this verse, 15th chapter, the beginning itself is saying this, yeah, that the, you can take it that the mercy has started coming. The commentary begins with this statement. What is that? Yasmad mad adhinam karmina karma bhalam jnaninam cha jnana bhalam adha bhakti yogena mam ye sevande te mal prasadal jnana prapti kramena gunadidaha moksham gachandi atmana tattvam eva samyak vijanandaha idi ado bhagavan arjunena aprishtam api atmanaha tattvam vivaksha uvacha urdhumulam ityadina. Is saying that karma is karma phalam. People who are doing karma, they are karma phalam. Jnani is jnana phalam. That knowledge and their power of the jnani is all under Antaryami's control. Antaryami decides what you should get. The result of your knowledge, result of your karma, it fructifies when Antaryami decides to give it to you. Right? And through bhakti yogam, one who has, that's what he is saying here, through bhakti yogam, one who has served me and got my prasadam, then gradually he will get this knowledge of the self and he will become free from the three modes of nature. Gunatitan comes to him and gets liberated. If it is like that, one who has realized the truth here, before he leaves this world, what to say about him? Krishna is saying that here. Yeah? That's what that first introduction to this 15th chapter is like that. So, having said all that, right? So, Antaryami is prasadam. That's the most important thing. Antaryami is prasadam, right? If you become qualified for that, Antaryami is prasadam, then even ordinary things, the results of your karma, will only happen when Antaryami is pleased with you. Similarly, knowledge also. Knowledge what you have now is probably through the mind and the intelligence. But it becomes effective. In other words, knowledge starts working for you. Now the knowledge is not working. It's all in the mind and intelligence. Like we do, all verses all memorized for preaching to others. I have not realized myself when I am preaching to everybody else. So it's a funny state, isn't it? When you have to talk about it like that. Yeah. So, but this jnanam, knowledge, also has to become our own knowledge, right? So hearing is the first step, and then you have to keep polishing it, the knowledge, to keep polishing it, right? And at some stage it will start having its effect on us, right? Brahma Vidya is like that. Brahma Vidya you hear first time, then you have to keep polishing it, and polishing is called mananam. The knowledge what you hear from Krishna, polishing that is called mananam, right? And when you hear it first time, it's all verbal only. Lot of words you hear, Brahmam, Maya, Prakriti, Ishvara, Jiva, all with Advaitam, Dvaitam, all these things, just words only. Nothing has actually have had any impact on us, right? So, so you remember what we said before, in different planes we are existing. Remember Mooladharam, Swadhisthanam, Manipuragam, Anahatam, Vishuddhi, Ajna, Sahasraram, like that. The different states of chakras, right? So, in different planes of existence, right, knowledge will manifest properly, right? And you will feel some happiness from that, but you don't have the clarity still. You know? Like lower levels, Mooladharam, Swadhisthanam and all, you are just hearing. But mostly it is Rajogunam, Tamogunam there. Remember what we discussed before. Don't forget all that. That Mooladharam, Swadhisthanam, they are the lower levels of existence. And if you are staying, Jiva is in that level, what happens is, he will try to capture things through mind and intelligence. No experience inside. Only when Jiva leaves the lower levels of existence, Mooladharam, Swadhisthanam, Manipuragam, only when it comes to Anahatam, the next fourth levels, only when it starts realizing that spiritual knowledge is beautiful, it is making more sense to him, it starts making sense to him. Only when it comes to Vishuddhi, it's more in Sattvagunam, he's seeing things. Otherwise, it's on Rajogunam and Tamogunam. So, so therefore, even in the lower levels, you may have heard things, clarity is not there, experience is not there, right? And sometimes you may have got some benefit from the knowledge, what Krishna has spoken here. That knowledge is giving you some insight, some clarity and all that, but it has not come to experience platform yet. But what happens is, when Antaryami inside start giving it to us, this whole situation changes, right? And immediately you start seeing, when that, it doesn't happen overnight like that, very gradually Antaryami will lift us on his own and start making that our Swarupam is not the body, our Swarupam is Antaryami. That knowledge slowly starts ticking in from inside, and when that happens, that you start realizing that mind, body, intelligence has nothing to do with me. At that time, when Antaryami from inside start revealing our spiritual nature, giving us that experience from inside, that is when you realize that body, mind and the intelligence has nothing to do with me. Yeah? So, what is, therefore he said, that is why he said here, Bhakti Yogena Sevante. Bhashyam begins like that. Bhakti Yogena Sevante. Right? So, through Bhakti Yogam, that is what it does. Bhakti Yogam is for Chitta Shuddhi. Chitta Shuddhi has to happen. And when Chitta Shuddhi happens, then Antaryami, we are getting closer to Antaryami then. Antaryami, when Chitta Shuddhi has happened, he will open that avaranam, covering, and he will start saying, I am here. Once you get a connection there, then gradually your attention will fall on him, attention will go away from the world. So that is what he is saying here. So then Bhakti Yogena Sevate, he says, whether it is sadhana bhakti or para bhakti, and all those things are a part of that. Sadhana bhakti is in the early stages, and then when it becomes perfection, when Antaryami started dealing, then it becomes para bhakti. And our prayers, chanting the holy name, all of that is considered to be bhakti, right? But with this goal in life, that somehow to get connection with the Antaryami, whatever you do in life, it's all considered to be bhakti. With this goal, to connect with the Antaryami inside, right? Means that I want to realize the truth. And once I know that, once I am connected with the Antaryami, then Shanti, as Krishna said, Tal prasadal param shantim sthanam prapsyasi shashvatam. You can't have a more precise statement than that. He says it is shashvatam, permanent. Where? Antaryami. Tal prasadam. Antaryami is prasadam. Yeah? So Antaryami prasadam is the one which is driving everything, right? So, so at the moment, I'm not able to control my mind. I'm trying hard, but it is not getting under control, right? So at that time, we have to beg to Antaryami for help. Because he is the only one who can, you know, after doing sadhana for many years, you also getting, seeing that you are nowhere. So you started, began, you are still there. And does bring frustration to people. And that's when people leave spiritual life. He said it's all because they are not able to get that connection with the Antaryami, right? So crying is one process to Antaryami, begging him for his mercy, right? And that is not an unnatural thing. It's a natural thing because crying is our natural way, is it not? Because when you were born, you came, every one of us came to this world crying. We didn't come here smiling, oh, such a beautiful place. Nowadays people come with the mobile. They want to take all the beauty into the mobile. But when you are born, how did we come? Crying. All of us cried, isn't it? So crying is not an unnatural thing. Crying is a natural thing for everybody, right? So, and that's what we did first thing when we came to this world. Not that one, when you came to the world, you look, I am a Yuktivadi, I only believe in logic. I didn't make any statement like that. Or I didn't say I am an atheist, or I am an intellectual. This is all came much later in life, after we lived in this for some time. But when we came to the world, we didn't say that I am an intellectual or I am a logician. Believes I'll only accept what is logical, what makes sense to me. I didn't make any statement like that. I simply came here crying to this world, looking for help, right? And did we get the result from that crying? Immediately we got the result, did we not? From somewhere the milk arrived. The mother didn't have the milk, right? Where did she get the milk at that moment, right? And what is that power that kept ready the milk in the mother's breast to be sucked straight away? Where did that power come from? Yeah. Who made this arrangement that you are coming to the world and when you come, you have the milk ready for you for your survival, right? Simple things, right? So when the child was in the womb of the mother, what was the food? Who supplied the food, right? At that time the milk didn't come when the child was in the womb, right? But after birth, within 48 hours, the milk is coming from the mother. See the arrangement of the nature, how nature has arranged, right? And what is the Shastra science behind that? Can science tell us why, who make this arrangement? That in 48 hours time, the milk starts coming from the mother after the baby is born, right? So what is the use of all this modern science? Science has no explanation to all these things, right? That is why in that Devi Bhagavatam says, Ya Devi Sarvabhudeshu Matra Rupena Samstita Namastase 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 Namo Nama, right? None of us are independent, right? We don't have any independence. Remember this, that we have come to this world totally helpless conditions at one day from the womb of a mother, and then you are crying in this world, not knowing what to say, what to do, nothing. All you know is how to cry. That's all you do, right? And in other words, we were under Krishna's control even at that moment. And whatever Prakriti and Ishvara has arranged for us, you can call whatever you like, right? It is not, only thing is, what you have to remember at that time is, your ego was not working. I am doing this. I can manage it. I've done that. You won't say that at that time. totally helpless, you are taking the shelter. You are taking the shelter. And that is a fact. It's not, nobody can deny these things. So, whether you call that power as Ishvara, you call it as Prakriti, whatever it may be, and even if you are agnostic about it, you know that it is not the result of your effort. Not the result of your effort, is it not? Your ahankaram was not there. You just cried and the help came. That's the way it happened. Your ego was not there because you didn't know who you are even to cry. And you didn't know where to ask for help. You were hungry and you cried and the help came. The milk came, right? So, from that on day onwards, things changed. From then on, things started changing, right? And so realizing from that birth itself that my cleverness, or I am smart, I am clever, all those things, that knowledge, whatever comes in that way, is not of much use. It's not of much use, right? And that is why prior to Bhagavad Prasadam, Krishna's Prasadam, right, the important thing is this, that before Krishna's Prasadam, what thing has to happen is that like the baby has cried, we have to cry. There is no other way. Feeling helpless about life and able to asking for help, and the help has to come. Help has to come. That's the arrangement, right? So, when the baby cried, whom was the baby addressing it to? Baby doesn't know anything. He didn't ask the mother for help. Baby will just cry. Didn't ask for the mother. Didn't ask for the father either. Yeah, doesn't know anything. Just crying. Came out and started crying, right? And didn't know Antaryami either. Krishna also doesn't know, but he just cried, right? Simple expression of pain, that's all. It's suffering, it's hungry, and it wants milk, and it just cried. Simple expression of pain, right? So, who is crying there? Antaryami is crying there. Antaryami is crying. Antaryami does that crying from inside the baby, right? So, and got the result straight away from Antaryami itself, shown us the result also, immediately, right? Similarly, bhakti is like that, right? Bhakti means this ashrayam, taking shelter, ashrayatvam, right? So, with that bhakti, it doesn't matter which form you are worshipping, whether you are doing through the chanting the holy name, or through meditation, or through any other way, somehow or the other, that highest goal has come inside us, right? What is that goal? I want to become free from this material existence. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi. I want to become free from this cycle, right? And if I have come to that understanding inside, and I have that desire strongly inside, and when you start convinced yourself that this is not the place where I want to be, this world, there is a lot of distress in this world, and this world is not going to change. If all this understanding is there, then you will be able to cry. Yeah? Buddha said the same thing, is it not? Buddha's statement was the same thing. Right? He said, there is suffering in this world. He recognized that straight away. But then he also said, there is release from this possible. Right? So you have to know both the things. First of all, you have to know that there is suffering in this world. Then you also have to know there is a way to become released from this suffering. These two things are important. First, both are equally important. Unless I know that there is suffering in this world, I won't do anything about it. Otherwise, I'll keep looking for happiness again in this world. So first thing is that I have to realize that there is suffering in this world. Secondly, I have to know that there is a way to get out from here as well. So both are important, right? So, most of the people have not even come to this state, which means that there is suffering in this world. They will argue about it, right? Just like that frog in the mouth of the snake, right? He says, everything is okay with me. I've paid all my bills and mortgage is all paid off. Family is all okay. Now what are you talking about? Where is the suffering? That's what they will say. People say like that, don't they not? Don't come and disturb my mind, they'll say, by saying all these kind of things. That there is suffering in this world. So then, if you tell them that, first of all, they don't want to talk to you. Then afterwards, when they see you in the street, they will go the other way. They won't even want to talk to you about, because this is, here comes the misery personified. They look at you like that. They want to meet people who are like them, enjoying life, you know, if you have something to offer to them, right? So, our illusion or Brahman is this, that we can make heaven in this world. We can live happily here, right? So, even little things even, we don't have a solution in this world. Smaller things even, right? You can go to a hospital, but you cannot get out of your physical suffering what you have to go through from that. Yeah. So, instead of suffering in the hospital, you can sit at home and suffer. That's the only thing you can do about it, right? So, or you can go to hospital and suffer there instead of suffering at home. Rather, you may as well suffer at home rather than suffering in the hospital, right? So, with all medications also, it is like that. You still suffer, right? So, many people who have gone through a lot in life, they come to this understanding that hospitals are all useless. All this, you know, you start realizing that at some stage in life. It's all useless. There is a system they have created, and you are thinking that all the solutions are there. When you go there and you start dealing with them, you start realizing that it's not what you thought about it. They don't have an answer. They will put you through so many of their procedures and different kinds of ideas they will give it to you. That's a system what the government has created, right? But with all the medications, I have not seen anybody going in totally unhealthy and coming out fully healthy fit. When he comes home, he'll give you a packet of medicines to take with you home. Because there is no beds available anymore. You can't sleep here. Go and sleep at your house. And I'll give you all the medicine for the next 5 years. And then that show, what does that show? It shows that you're not become free from the suffering. Suffering is there. Suffering is at home. But then when you get home, you're a little bit better. But at least you're home, you're suffering on your own. You don't have to see the suffering of so many others. Imagine in a hospital what happens, right? You're lying in a bed. And there are so many other beds. Oh, looking at each one of them, you feel you are doing better than them. You start thinking, at least you are not gone. Some of their suffering is too much. It is unbearability. That's why, as much as possible, you should pray to Krishna not to take me there, if it is possible. And this was Prabhupada's prayer. Prabhupada knew it was going to be suffering. But he said, don't take me to hospital. He said, why do I have to witness the suffering of so many other people? If that's what is on offer. And is that such a happy situation? When you see all the, it's no point in realizing it at the time of death. That realization should come now, not at the end, right? So, all these things has to be, and we are not able to do anything about all these problems, right? So, this prashnam, these problems of prakriti, janmam, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, it is all still here as they are. There is no solution to any of these problems, right? You can make some little adjustment this way, that way. That's all you can do. But the fundamental problems are still there. It has not gone away, right? So, you remember, I talked about this before. There was Agnihotri had his wife, Vararuchi, right? And they had 12 sons. And they were peculiar characters, all 12 of them. And one of them was this Narayanath Brahman, the mad one. Totally mad he was. But he was highly realized soul, right? He used to push a stone from the ground all the way to the top of the hill. Whole day he will push and bring it to the stone to the top. And in the evening when he has got there with the stone, he will push it down from there after pushing it whole day. So some people asked him, what are you doing actually? What pleasure are you getting? He said to them, are you not doing the same thing? He said to them, what else are you doing? You think that you are doing something big in this world. It's not much different than what I am doing. So this Narayan Brahman, this mad person, right? He has gone into one cemetery. He likes to sit there in the cemetery. That is the place where he likes to be. Because dead bodies are coming. And it is getting burned. And watching that was his pastime. He enjoyed how people are finishing this world and leaving this world. Everything converted into a few ashes and they've gone. And watching the people who come bring the dead bodies and getting it burned, right? So, but this cemetery is a place where Bhadrakali is also worshipped. Lord Shiva likes to be there. It's not, it's mentioned in the third canto. Bhadrakali also dances there. So Narayanatha Brahman, he was a mad person, but because he was realized, one day Bhadrakali appeared in front of him. So he says to Bhadrakali, Bhadrakali says to him, "What do you want? I have come now. What do you want? Do you want any benedictions from me?" He says, "What benedictions can you give me?" he said. So she says, "No, I can help you. If you want anything, you ask me. I'll give it to you." She says to her, "Okay, tell me when I'm going to die," he said to her. She says, "I don't know that, when you will die." "Okay. Can you make it a day before than that, if I tell you the date?" She says, "No, I can't." "Can you make it a little later?" She says, "I can't do that." So he can't do any of these things. Then, you know, he has got this, both legs had this disease called elephantiasis. You know, when it is due to, you know, when they get bitten by some mosquitoes, it happens. The leg becomes very fat. And you will see, he had that problem. So one leg was normal. The other leg had this elephantiasis, or what did they call it? Yeah, that disease. So he says to her, "Can you move it from this leg to the other leg?" She says, "You can't do anything. Then at least do that for me," he says to me. If you can do that," he says. So this is how it is, our life in this world. We are trying to solve the problem like this. I've got some problem, so I'll try, look for something else to counteract this one. And trying to plug the holes all the time. It's not the solution to the problem. Problem is still there, right? So suffering is there. If we accept this, this is what we are doing here. There is no solution to the problems. All we are doing is adjusting this and that, a bit here and there. Then you will naturally move into the next stage. Yeah? That means you have recognized that there is distress here, there is pain here, there is problems here, and I want some release from that. And when a jiva is desiring for that, provided he has come to that level of realization, yeah? If he has come to that, it is at that stage he is called as mumukshu. The word mumukshu, you heard that before, haven't you? You become a mumukshu at that stage. That means you have realized there is suffering in this world and I can't do anything about it. There is no solution to the problem. Because we are in the wrong place and all we are doing now is adjusting things. Trying to do one thing to solve some other problem and then becomes another problem and solve that problem. In this way, whole life, we are making adjustments all the time, right? So, just like a mumukshu is that person who realizes this is all life is about, and he wants to become free from that. Because Krishna has mentioned that very precisely before, janma mrityu jara vyadhi. Dukkha doshani darshanam, he said, and then he said in the last chapter also, janma mrityu jara dukkham. He said, that is what, Krishna says, that is what is spiritual. Gunena, the one who has become free from the three modes of nature, he says in the 20th verse. Gunanedan aditya trin, dehi deha samulbhavan, janma mrityu jara dukkher, vimuktam amrtam asnure. So, Krishna has specifically said this in two places in the Bhagavad Gita, that this is your problem, first of all. Identifying the problem itself is a big thing. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi is the problem. Is there a way out? This is the question. This is the only question Krishna is saying. Is there a way out from this, janma mrityu jara vyadhi? Because we know all four of them is suffering. Birth is suffering, death is suffering. Old age is suffering, disease is suffering. Then with all this going on, what are we trying to establish here? Where is the happiness in this world when these four are with us all the time? So therefore, ones who have come to this realization, that stage, what Krishna has spoken, janma mrityu jara vyadhi problems, right? And when he start realizing that, and I want a release from that, that is when he is a mumukshu. Yeah? Mumukshu is the word for him, right? Just like when that baby, when it was born, it started crying, right? Similarly, when Mumukshu is crying for Antaryami to help, right? And he start crying towards Antaryami, then naturally, when he is crying, the help will start coming from the Antaryami for Shanti from inside. This is the rule. This is the absolute rule. You know, how do you understand this? You have to look at how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, how Ramanujacharya prayed, how Shankaracharya prayed. They all prayed like this. They will say to Krishna or to Shiva or to Sri Parvati, whoever they are worshipping, whichever form they are worshipping, their prayers are like this, that we have done everything, but we don't know what makes us qualified. We are not qualified. They are saying this. They are saying this. We are not qualified. We have done everything within our capacity, what we could do in our life, with the time what we have, and with the capacity what we have. We have done what we could within our capacity. From your side, you should look at us, not see the faults in us, what we are lacking. Without taking that into account, you should save us. Only then we will escape. Otherwise we won't. This is how they have prayed. Imagine that. And this is ideal prayer for everybody. You know, you can say to Krishna, I have done so much sadhana, now you give me the liberation. That doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. You have to say to Krishna that, within my capacity, whatever body, mind, senses and lifespan you have given me, and the knowledge what you have given me, with that I did what I could. I couldn't do anything more than that. But you should not look into all my deficiencies, all my weaknesses, and all my shortcomings. And if you think that, if you start analyzing me that way, it is not going to happen. I will never get released. I will be here only. Because they are saying this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that. You look at the Shikshashtakam, he will saying this, right? So, similarly, Ajari Swami said the same thing. Sukadeva Goswami says the same thing. Vedavyasa Maharshi says the same thing. That is all you can do in this life. You can't do anything more than that. That is why Krishna couldn't answer anything to Kaliya. Is it not? Kaliya said to Krishna, you have given me a body like this, and you have filled inside with this, all this poison, and then you want me to become a devotee. How is that possible? It's all poison inside. So I can only do what you have given me. The body what you have given me, the mind you have given me, the knowledge what you have given me, the control of the senses what you have given me, and all my weaknesses. You have to accept that. And I have to cry saying this to Krishna. And when that happens, Antaryami from inside, if he feels that I am genuine, if Antaryami feels that I am genuine, he will overlook all the shortcomings. He will overlook all the shortcomings, right? So, it will start coming, the help will start coming from inside. So, you know what Vedantam says, the example for that? Vedantam's example is like this. If your head is caught fire, there is no point in looking for digging the well at that time. Suppose any one of us caught fire on my head, what will I do? I won't be waiting for anything. I'll look for water straight away where it's available, right? Similarly, if you start realizing the situation where we are now, of this birth, death, old age and disease, and the problems that is likely to come in this lifetime, if you become very conscious of that, then your spiritual nature of your spiritual life will completely change. Adhyalpam. Adhyalpam means spiritual life. Its swabhavam, its nature will completely change, right? So, you start seeing Bhagavad Gita and the Upanishads, Bhagavatam and all, you will start seeing them through a new eye. In a different way, you start seeing them, right? Nowadays it is not like that. It's not. It's not spoken in this way. Nowadays, spiritual life is more like another field where you can shine nicely. Television program, YouTube, Facebook. If you put spiritual life to people through all these things, the children will also think this is spiritual life. This is what is happening. I'm not saying the wrong thing, because one day I was listening, one person was saying that, you know, everything about Krishna is in the Krishna book, just like Facebook, he's saying. So you are saying this, just like Facebook, he said, Krishna book. You should study Krishna book, like Facebook, he says. So you can see how much Facebook has gone inside, affected him. So today, if you look into the spiritual field, lot of things are going on. But it's all based on like the television programs and YouTube interviews and the motivational speakers and things. It's all bogus it is. It has nothing to do with the reality. Reality is this, what Krishna is saying here. That recognizing, once you know that this world, there is nothing to get from here except this birth, death, old age and disease. Where should be our Shraddha then? Except to get connection with the Antaryami. Is it not? Antaryami's mercy is more important than anything else in this world. So, whereas modern spiritual field is all kinds of show going on. Different ways it's being done, right? And, you know, even in the music also same thing. Classical music, for example. Classical music. In classical music, nowadays they teach the children and then they are looking for a place where they could perform very well and get claps from people, right? A lot of children get into music in that way. Tyagaraja Swami, who was a devotee, Ramchandra's devotee, look at him, how he performed music, right? It comes from the deepest core of his heart, and when he was singing, tears were coming from his eyes, and he's saying to Lord Ramchandra that, why are you keeping me here? That is proper music. That is music, right? He's saying to Ramchandra, why are you keeping me here? Why can't you take me out from this? That means these problems of life, birth, death, old age and disease, has hit him so hard. If you read his life history, you will see there how much suffering he had to go through. And what happened with the fact that because that mumukshatvam came up so strongly inside, he felt closer to Ramachandra. And he realized that except Ramachandra, nobody else can help. And he took complete shelter. And that's the songs what has come out of his music, right? So from the, what has happened now is, that is from the field of bhakti. Now from the field of bhakti, it has fallen into the field of art and entertainment today, bhakti. This is the big problem. From the field of bhakti, it has fallen into the field of entertainment and art. And people are not able to understand this. Today's world, I'm saying, you carefully watch this. What is going on in the name of bhakti in this world? That feeling of bhakti has gone. And it has all become entertainment and propaganda and recognition and you know what I'm talking about. It has gone in that direction. From the field of bhakti, it has become entertainment and art, right? So when that happened, Tyagaraja Swami's famous prayers, Suraraga Sudharasa, so famous thing what he has written about that, right? And that the bhakti that it has created in Tyagaraja's heart is not able to be created today by the people when they sing that. They sing that, but that bhakti what Tyagaraja created through that words, it's not coming out from them, right? So the bhakti is more important, that I'm saying that. Similarly, this adhyalpam, spiritual life, is not an art. It's not an entertainment either. Spiritual life is not an art. It's not an entertainment either, right? And if you hear these things and say about that, it may not create the same effect. But, and it is not something to be presented to others. And what is expected from that is that if it does not become as your own and get the message inside properly, and if you are able to change and accept what Krishna is saying, accept means that that has to become the priority in life over everything else, right? So gradually what will happen is you start realizing that if I want to have Shanti, because Shanti is the goal. Krishna has said that in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Bhagavadam, isn't it? Tataparam Shanti Upaiti Sakshal in the Bhagavadam, Ekadasa Skandam. Kavi Maharshi says that. Similarly, in Bhagavad Gita, a few places Krishna has spoken Shanti. So I have to realize, if I want that Shanti, then this knowledge, what Krishna is talking about, should become come to my experience level. It has to be. I have to start experiencing that inside. And that means this knowledge has to become my knowledge. Not Krishna's knowledge, or Vedavyasa Maharshi's knowledge, or Shankaracharya's knowledge, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's knowledge, or the knowledge in the Upanishads. It has to become my knowledge. It has to have its effect in me, right? So, in order to get that knowledge in me, to experience that, I don't need a mic, I don't need the lights, or I don't need a chair or a table or anything. It requires that Antaryami's Kripa. That is what is required, not any of the other things, right? So, even if I'm on my own, sitting alone at home, this knowledge should start working for me, inside me, right? Only then you can say that Brahmavidya is working. Brahmavidya is working. So, these basically all these things are not purely for propaganda business. If somebody wants it, he will come for it, right? But just making propaganda out of that and think that I've done my job, now the results will come, it doesn't work like that, right? So, those who want it, it is for them. Those who want it, right? So, jnana prapti, or realizing, this realization comes gunatitaha. That means these three qualities we talked about, satugunam, rajagunam, tamogunam, right? They are in the mind as well. Qualities in the mind. Either satugunam or rajagunam or tamogunam, right? So, how do you recognize which gunam is working for us? It is not difficult. Suppose you are feeling happy in life. You are feeling shanti, peaceful inside. And your attention is going for higher values in life. Spiritual life, adhyatmam, self-realization. You can say that the sattvagunam is operating at that time. And suppose you are always in a state where you want to engage in karma. Karma is pushing you all the time to do things, one thing or the other all the time. Action, action. If action is driving you, it means rajogunam is controlling you at that time, right? Or, third thing, if you feel so depressed and you feel there's no point in doing anything and sitting tight thinking what to do next and feeling depressed and completely lost, tamogunam has taken over. It's very clear, isn't it? It's not difficult to understand. If sattvagunam is strong inside, you will only think about spiritual life and self-realization. Krishna said that in the Bhagavatam, is it not? Sattval sanjayide jnanam. Then, rajaso karma meva va. Thus verses, right? So, he says, automatically, your attention will be on self-realization. Not any of the other things are not important at all anymore. Simply self-realization, because the knowledge has touched you. Sanjayide jnanam, right? So, and so, in order to transcend these three, all three are wrong. Sattvagunam is better than rajagunam and tamogunam, no doubt. But even sattvagunam can bind you there. So, you have to transcend all the three and to get to shanti state or to the knowledge and to get established in the swarupam jnanam, and that is the highest profit, right? So, this and this thing. When you are under the three modes of nature, with all what is spoken about that, that situation is called samsaram. It's called samsaram, right? That means, when we use this word samsaram, it's a very complicated word. When you study the Guru Ashtakam Samsara Dhava and Anali Thaloga, there the meaning is one, right? I don't know what in other languages are, but I know in Tamil and Malayalam what it is. I can tell you that. In Tamil, samsaram means wife. In Malayalam, samsaram means conversation. When you have two people are having conversation, it's called a samsaram. Right? So, Tamils will say about samsaram in a different way. In Malayalam, it is in a different way. And in the spiritual language, samsaram has something else, meaning. samsara loka. So this samsaram, so therefore we have to use the word very carefully with jagrata, right? So so samsaradi samyak paddhati. In other words, samsaram means that is something continuously flowing and a chain of events in life. Basically that's what it means, right? And continuously forced into it, like all of us, right? Samsaram is going on and we are battling it in that samsaram. Daily life is a battle, isn't it? Daily life is a battle. You go from here, there are millions of problems waiting at home. You have to sort that out, this out. So many other problems comes in between. You sort them out. In this way, constant flow of problems and solutions. That's called samsaram. Constant flow of problems and solutions. You are always conscious, is anything going to happen to the body next moment? What's going to come? Something went wrong, you didn't get the food digested. Start thinking, what have I eaten now? What should be the medicine for this? Or something happens in the body, right? I didn't get a good sleep. Why didn't I get a good sleep? Start thinking. Gone to the toilet. Oh, I couldn't empty my stomach. Why? This worries keeps on. And in the meanwhile, you are trying to do some sadhana also. In the middle of all these things, nothing is working, right? So this is our situation, is like that in this world. Meanwhile, suppose you are in a family life, you have got all other family members. Every one of them have their own problems, but all that problems will come to you as well. And you have to solve those problems also. And in the middle of that, you are talking about love of Godhead. Imagine that. This is the funny situation, right? So this karmam, and suffering from that without any uparamam. Uparamam means relief from that. And that dukkham, and that is what is called a samsaram. Samsaram means is the sum total of all these things. Your personal suffering, the suffering of your family members, collectively suffering, all of that. Added to that, suffering from the rest of the world. Like Iraq war is going on, I'm supposed to suffer from that. Iran war, right? There will be food anxiety, it is created. Will there be food tomorrow? You can see this already happening. I don't have to say this. Gas cylinder prices, I heard yesterday while talking to someone, it was 900 rupees. You know the gas cylinder. Yeah. In India, everybody cooks with gas cylinder now. You know what the price now is? 4,500. Because gas is not coming. So they have put the prices up. So a lot of poor people who are dependent on the gas cooking, they have no way to cook. Hotels have completely changed their menu now. In many hotels now, they are not offering all the modern things now. They are limited to one or two items. Only one or two items. Especially the smaller restaurants, smaller hotels and all. Most of the major items they have taken out. Because they are buying wood and what is available. And with that wood, they are cooking in the wood, you know, with the wood, and they can't afford to make many dishes with that. They don't have many ovens and cooking facilities and all that. And because of that, the prices have gone up so much. Many poor people, you may have seen this in Delhi. I have seen this in Delhi. That's why I'm saying this. Many people from villages come to Delhi, right? And Delhi always have some big projects going on. Now airport is being rebuilt. Then Noida. And there are many, many big projects going on in Delhi. So a lot of poor people get work in Delhi. They come to Delhi. And government is always developing new things, right? So when they come from the villages in Bihar and Uttar Pradesh and all that, there is not much, they don't have much money who have come from the villages. They come there only because of the work, right? So what they use is, they put a tent somewhere, wherever there is a free space available, and they will have a cooking gas cylinder. They'll come home in the evening after working. They'll probably get 800 or 1,000 rupees a day. And he may have his wife and children also. They all come from the village. Together living in the tent, cooking the gas, using the cylinder, and cooking and having their meal. Like, this is how they live there, right? Now, this happened. Cylinder prices have gone up. What happened? They've all started going back to the villages where they came from. They can't live in Delhi with that money what they've got. 900 rupees a cylinder itself is too much for them. But now they have to pay 4,500 for that. Where will they pay? Who is going to pay for that? They cannot stay in Delhi. they are all going back. And they have shown in BBC some people walking back to the villages with wives, children, and with their little luggage, what they had with them, walking all the way from Delhi to UP to different villages where they came from. So this is how the situation is, right? So the thing is that samsara means this. Everything, all this is samsara. Yeah? And as when war happens, the people worst affected by are the poorest people. And then comes to the higher levels. The richest people, they'll find some way to escape from the whole thing. But everybody else suffers from that. So this chapter begins with this thing called samsaram first. Krishna is talking about samsaram. I said before that, Arjuna, he says here, adrishtamabhi. He says, Arjunena, Bhagavan, Arjunena, adrishtamabhi almanaha, tattvam vivakshaha, uvacha, urdhamulam, ityadina. Ajahn Swamiji begins this chapter with this statement. He's saying like that. Then Arjuna didn't ask anything. Arjuna didn't ask anything. But Krishna, out of his mercy, compassion for Arjuna, in this chapter, he begins with this tree called samsara. Samsara vriksham is this. This tree, what he is going to talk about, is this samsara, right? So why is he that? Idea behind that is to create some vairagyam inside. Because unless we understand this world properly, vairagyam won't come. Vairagyam, we can talk about it. But proper vairagyam won't come from this world unless this samsaram is understood properly, right? If vairagyam comes, what is the benefit? You'll become fearless, right? Because once vairagyam comes, your mind will change. That means you'll start thinking, I can live without this, I can live without that, I can manage without any of these things. That kind of frame of mind will come inside. That means asakti, attachment. If you don't have attachment to anything, you will become fearless. That's the principle. Because you have attachment to anything, then you become fearful. Whether it is money, whether it's home, whether it's family, these are strong principles of spiritual life. That if there is attachment, there will be fear. If I have put one clip on our group. You see Sringeri Acharyas, how they live. Just see. Because they are known for this. Both the current Acharya and his disciple, Vidushaira, both of them, they sleep on the floor. How do they sleep? They just put that cloth, what they have on their body, they spread it on the floor and they sleep on that in the night. They wake up at 3:45 in the morning, till midnight they are busy with spiritual activities. And 3 hours they sleep from 12 to 4 o'clock, and this is how they sleep on the floor. Nothing else. And throughout the day they are busy with different spiritual ideas, their sadhana process, in other words. Upasana and other things they have to manage. So I'm saying that vairagyam is an absolute necessity in life. We won't be able to operate like that. We will find it very hard. We need our, Simba beds with 12-inch thickness and 4 pillows on either side and the heating and all sorts of things, right? And look at, they have that strength, steadiness in spiritual life. That's very important. That's vairagyam. Vairagya means that no attachment anywhere. We can live without anything. Whatever is available, happy with that. No complaints about anything. Freedom from that, right? And therefore, there is no fear either. fear comes when we have attachment to anything. When we have attachment to something. So, one person went to the temple, right? And he made some offering to the deity. You know, a special offering to the deity. So the people asked him that, why are you making this offering, special offering to the deity? He said, oh, have you not read the news? He said, the news was that a car has fallen while going to Himalayas, to Badrinath or somewhere. The car goes like this, isn't it? The, you know, how the road, winding roads, how it goes. He was going and somewhere something happened and the car fell from 12,000 feet down from there and everybody died in the car. He said, so for that, why are you making this offering? He said, that was my car. I sold it. And I'm feeling grateful that I've sold that car, he says. That it didn't happen to me. Because when he saw all of them died in that car accident. So similarly, he says, when I was attached to that car, if it has happened, I would have suffered from that. But now I'm not attached to it because I've sold it. So from that, what do we learn? Mamata. Mamata, if mamata is there, mamata means attachment. If attachment is there, you will suffer in this world. That's the underlying principle. Anything. It doesn't matter what it is. Whether it's wife, children, job, money, home, whatever it may be. As long as we are attached to something, suffering will follow. Suffering will follow from that, right? So, asakti, that's what Krishna is saying there, isn't it? Asakti, I'll call it to death. So, vairagyam means not hate. You don't hate anything. Vairagyam means knowing this nature of the world and able to withdraw from that. Knowing the real nature of this world. And that is why this samsaram is spoken. To understand in this world in the proper way and able to withdraw from that world, right? So, if suppose vairagyam has not happened, right? And suppose even if you have knowledge inside, but vairagyam has not happened, you will still suffer. Suppose you have knowledge, spiritual knowledge has come to you, but vairagyam has not come to you, but still you will suffer. You will suffer in this world. There are people like that. Jnanis are there, right? They may not have vairagyam in life, but they will have distress in life. Because of this, right? So that is why all these great personalities who are practicing spiritual life seriously, they will make sure that while they are developing knowledge, spiritual strength from their upasana and from their sadhana, they are getting stronger spiritually. They will make sure that vairagyam comes along with that. And that's why in the Bhagavadam, jnanam and vairagyam are together. Children of bhakti, it is mentioned like that, is it not? This is the reason for that. Jnanam without vairagyam cannot exist. It will go, it will leave you straight away. It won't stay. In order jnanam to stay, this realization to stay inside, vairagyam is essential. This is the reason why we people go to Himalayas and give up everything, attachment to this world, for this reason only. Right? So, even when distress comes in life, their knowledge won't go. The knowledge is there. But when the distress comes in life, their knowledge may not go, but distress will be there. If vairagyam is not there. I know you have to think these things a little bit more. Only then you will understand. And there are examples also for that. Take Ramachandra. Ramachandra's life, yeah. In Ramachandra, we are seeing Ramachandra as an ideal person, isn't it? Maryada, Purushottam. And we say he is an incarnation, avataram and all that. But in Vedantam, they look at Ramachandra differently. Because what Ramachandra has taught the world is more important for rather than worshipping Ramachandra as a person in Vedantam. Vedantam, they analyze Ramachandra's teachings. Basically, it is Vasishtha and Ramachandra, isn't it? Yoga Vasishtham, Adhyatma Ramayanam and all that, right? So, Ramachandra is crying. And they're saying that nobody can cry like Ramachandra has cried. So, one side we are saying he is the absolute truth, personality of Godhead and all. But Ramachandra cried in this world, isn't it? And you can see there that externally, for example, Ramachandra had knowledge, is it not? He had knowledge. Vasishtha Maharshi gave him the knowledge before he left home. And normally in this world, yeah, so that means he has realizations. Realizations were there in Ramachandra. And normally they are classified into few different ways. For example, externally, if you look at them, you will know that from outside itself, anyone that inside also they are perfect. Outside they are perfect, inside also they are perfect. For example, if you look at Shukabrahma Rishi, outwardly they are perfect, inside also they are perfect. You know why Bhagavatam is presenting different types of people in front of us, right? You know, Bhagavatam has presented all, they are all realized persons. Prahlada, Dhruva, and then we have got Gopis, Uddhava, Parikshit, Yudhishthira, Shri Shukabrahma Rishi, and then so many others, Vritrasura, different types of people from different backgrounds are presented in the Bhagavatam. Why is that? When in the realization is concerned, they are all same. But their Swabhavam is concerned, they are all different. They are all different, are they not? Prahlada behaved one way, Dhruva behaved in another way, and similarly Gopis acted in a different way. So, internally, Jnanam is working for them, but externally, Swabhavam, and depending on their Vairagyam, they acted differently. You see, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about Janaka, is it not? Janaka is spoken. Janaka was a king. That means he had a responsibility of an administration of a kingdom, which is big. And Janaka was not affected by that. Ambarisha was not affected by that. Sudama had nothing to manage. So much in poverty, but so much in a realized state as well. So Sudama and Janaka, materially they are different. Spiritually they are same. This is the beauty of self-realization. Sudama and Janaka, or Sudama and Ambarisha, they are materially side if you look at it. Ambarisha had so much wealth. What says in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Ambarisha Mahabhagavatam, and he was the seven seas, he was controlling so much, the whole planet was under his control. So much wealth he had, but no attraction for anything. You remember what he said, the verses what he is saying in the fourth chapter in the ninth canto, about how he lived his life. Yeah. Similarly, you take Vritrasura, what Vritrasura said about life. Aham Hare Tava Padega Moolam, those verses, right? So, when you compare one to another, say Janaka, Vritrasura, or Chitrayedu is Vritrasura, Janaka, Vritrasura, Ambarish, Prahlada, Dhruva, and Gopis, and these persons like our, Uddhava, all these different souls, they were all different as far as the world is concerned, while dealing with the world is concerned. But realization is concerned, it's one and the same. They all have perfect one understanding. That's what he's saying here. So when you see these great souls, you may get the impression, why is he behaving like this? Janaka didn't do like this, or Ambarish didn't do like that. Sudama is the best example on this. So poor he was, had nothing to eat at home. Wife had to go out and ask for food from somebody. If somebody gets it, gives it, that day they will eat. Can you imagine? Bit like Tyagaraja's life. Somebody gives food, then that day they will eat. If nobody gave anything, they will fast. This is one extreme. The other extreme, our Ambarish and Janaka, they had everything in this world, but they were also in. So what does that show? It shows that spiritual life is not dependent on your material situation. Material situation has nothing to do with that. That is your prarabdham coming in different ways, whoever it is, right? So, here, some people, Shri Shukabrahma Rishi, if you take, outwardly and inwardly he is the same. You will see his nature is like that, right? So, outwardly they are jnanis, internally also they are jnanis. Some people, other people, right, outwardly they will have a lot of problems, but internally they are perfect. There are people like that, right? Outwardly, when you look at it, they will behave as though they are in a very crude behavior. They'll have some crude behavior, like Jadabharata did. Yeah, in Tirunamalai, they are to talk about Seshadri Swamiji. They were all like that. Outwardly, they will behave as though they are very crude. You know, their behavior will be so different, right? But internally, they will be in realized state. Ramachandra was like that. Ramchandra was more like Jatabharata. Internally he was perfect, but outwardly he cried when Sita Devi left. And so many instances throughout Ramayana, Ramachandra acted in such a way as though he is affected by the Prakriti. Right? And some other people, there's another third category. Outwardly they may look perfect, but internally is full of problems. That is most of the modern world. Outwardly all looks perfect, but internally, and it is very dangerous people they are. Outwardly they will present to you as though they are all very, they are in touch with the Radha Devi in the spiritual world, and they will behave like that, but they are dangerous people. Because internally it's not settled properly. Outwardly it is all show going on. So all these varieties you will find in the spiritual field. Just saying to be aware of all this. Without knowing all these things, just wah, 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 running after everything else in this world, everything looking beautiful, and thinking that it's all spiritual life, not to get carried away by that. You have to develop this way of seeing things in the proper way through the Shastram, right? So, in Ramayanam, when we will stop here today. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.